Blog Talk Radio.
All right, are we going to have
Hi Freedomizers, this is Broccoli Man again telling you about the contest Proof Negative is doing for an ounce of silver. This contest already started, so you better get started. This is a Freedomizer radio cartoon contest. You go to extranormal.com and spell it right, it is spelled extranormal.com. Or you can go to goanimate.com, or you can create your own cartoon, it doesn't matter where you make it. Anyway, you create a cartoon. You put it up on YouTube or any other video upload site. You then send an email to contest@freedomizerradio.com with the link to your video. The cartoon has to mention Freedomizer Radio in a relevant manner. So no talking about how you like grandma's oatmeal then saying Freedomizer Radio one time and then going back to talking about your junk. The best videos go on the freedomizerradio.com website. Entries are accepted until June 30th, 2011. Then, we all get to vote for a few days on our favorite video. Then on July 4th, 2011 a winner is chosen and Proof Negative mails out an ounce of silver to the most creative and funny cartoonist. This contest is open to everyone except me and Proof Negative. Wait a minute. Why can't Broccoli Man make a video? Oh well. I hope someone wins Proof Silver. And remember, please listen to Freedomizer Radio and go to freedomizerradio.com and help me fight New World Order crime.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Proof Negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I've thought about it ever since we talked on off of the air the other day. And I'd say that that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
Yeah, okay. Let me do a take two. Hey, it's Helene. New show called Take Two. Thursdays, noon to 2 Pacific Standard Time on Freedomizer Radio. Yeah, take 2 hours. Take two guests. Take two topics. Take two points of view all in one take. Yeah, then take two aspirins and call me during the show. It's always good to chat, and if you're not part of the chat, at least you should be listening to it. That's Take Two. Take Two debuts July 7th, and we'll be on every Thursday on Freedomizer Radio. So take 2 moments and let me know what you're thinking about every Thursday, 12 to 2 Pacific Standard Time. Do I need to take two? Or that would be take three. I'm good.
In today's world, being prepared is on everyone's mind. You're being told every day to prepare yourself. Okay, being prepared is one thing, but how are you preparing? Is the food you're going to eat something that you'll really enjoy? You know, comfort food. Or is it just something you'll eat for the sake of eating? After all, who cares about taste? You do. And at Tomorrow's Harvest, it's all about variety, taste, and a larger portion for less money. At Tomorrow's Harvest, you'll find 85 varieties of prepackaged meals, or you can customize your own family's menu. You can choose what you want, and they'll put it together for you. You choose what you and your family will eat every day. You'll find entrees like lasagna, beef stroganoff, salmon, ground beef, steak and chicken, and don't forget real milk, the kind of food that, when you need comfort, it's there. And preparation is as easy as 6 months, same as cash. Prepare today with Tomorrow's Harvest in Bountiful or online at tomorrowsharvest.com. Tomorrow's Harvest, a better taste in being prepared.
Pondering the Bilderberg Group for the fifth time today? Planning on protesting the Federal Reserve and looking for ideas?
Did you finally convince your parents the left-right paradigm is a farce and you want to share your insight? Want to find out who Jared is and why he's having a meltdown?
We Are Change Austin is teaming up with Freedomizer Radio to discuss everything from Liberty News to ways to stay activated and motivated in your town and in your heart. Tune in to True Talk Radio every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 12 p.m. Central as we discuss how we can rise up and be the change we wish to see in the world.
What in the world? Okay. All right, let me...
We'll be right back. All right. Hello again, everyone. Proof Negative here at the helm. It's a great night here on Freedomizer Radio. And, okay, what in the world is this? All right. Sorry, we have a new switchboard and just had a really weird pop-up, but that's all right. Hey, Unitubers here. Go ahead and verify you're on.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Sir, wow. It's not like I'm the evil boss or something.
Oh, as long as I don't get a pink slip, I'm good to go.
All right. No problem. Hey, it's a great night here. We're going to have Lindsey Williams on here in a little bit. And I believe he's calling in, but if he doesn't call in the next 5 minutes, then I'm supposed to call him, I suppose. I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, it's not. I think he's in my first hour. I don't think I booked him in the second hour. Hugh Vail is supposed to join us afterwards.
Excellent, excellent.
All right, so ladies first here. What would you like to cover first?
Well, I'm excited that Tex Mars is going to be back. That's really, really cool. That is very cool.
Yeah, next Tuesday, you have a lot of homework to do.
Yeah? Why? What's next Tuesday?
Tom DeWeese from Agenda, AmericanPolicyCenter.org. We're going to be discussing Agenda 21. He's one of the subject matter experts.
Okay.
Judd Saul and Kyle Baker are going to come back, too, from the NoLockboxes.org website.
Okay.
You remember that issue in Cedar Falls?
Vaguely. Can you refresh my memory?
That's where they're requiring all the houses,
all
the apartments and the businesses, you have to give the government your keys.
Right, right. Yep, I do remember that very well.
All right, yeah, we're also going to have on Lisa McLaughlin that day, so we're going to have four guests in 3 hours.
That's Tuesday or Thursday?
Next Tuesday. Next Thursday is Tex Mars.
Okay, so next Tuesday we're having four guests on?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be a very, very short time for Stupid News.
Oh, don't worry, we'll make time for it. Don't worry
we'll
about
make
it.
Time
there
for
it.
All right.
But go ahead. That's enough show talk for the day. So go ahead and share a story with us here. And by that time, hopefully, Lindsey will be on.
Okay. Here's a short article from Associated Press that I found this afternoon. This is from Washington. Feds argue against a warrantless GPS lawsuit. Justice Department is asking a judge to throw out a lawsuit against Attorney General Eric Holder and FBI Director Robert Mueller over a GPS tracking device put on a student's car without a warrant. Now, if you guys all remember that this this kid took his car to a shop to get looked at or oil change or something, and a mechanic found this thing on there. And the kid had no idea it was there, what it was about, whatever. And this came out, I think, a year and a half ago, maybe. Anyways, a 20-year-old Egyptian-American, Yasser Afifi of San Jose, California, sued the officials in March, saying he's never done anything to attract law enforcement attention. A mechanic found the device under his car. FBI officials acknowledged they secretly installed the device, but they acknowledged that they secretly installed the device. That right there, I mean, But court documents filed Tuesday blacked out why. The FBI also argues it shouldn't have to destroy its records of the surveillance, as Afifi's lawsuit demands. The Justice Department says Afifi doesn't have grounds to sue because he isn't facing any harm. And get this, the last line of the article says, the Justice Department says Afifi doesn't have grounds to sue because he isn't facing any harm and that Holder and Mueller are immune from such lawsuits.
Oh.
Hello. They're immune.
So if you're the Attorney General, you don't have to worry about getting arrested? Well, what about that Gonzalez guy a few years ago with George Bush? He had to worry about being arrested.
Ridiculous. For anybody in this nation in the public service, whether you're president, attorney general, secretary of state, speaker of the House, congressman, you know, any type of politician, for anyone to say they are immune because of their seat of office is a slap in the face of the Constitution and anything that we as Americans believe in. I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous.
Right, and another thing, too, here, I don't know if you were with us when we had the organic guru Lynette Paik join us for a few minutes
yes,
yesterday.
Yes,
But we talked about the executive order for Agenda 21. I like the fact that if something doesn't pass, all they have to do is sign it, executive order. And George Soros has been begging Barry Satoro to do more of this, signing everything by executive order. Don't worry about the House and the Senate. So if you want to know anything that's signed executive order, you have George Soros to thank on that.
I just think it's all ridiculous. I mean, since when are these people immune? You know, taking any kind of public office does not grant you immunity or, release you from any culpability for actions that are taken. You know, I mean, well, Eric Holder may say, I didn't actually order it there, so how can you, you know, bring me a lawsuit? You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, oh, man. I don't know. I'd forgotten about the story.
Or run down Pennsylvania Avenue and go streaking. Would he would he have to face any arrest or fines?
I don't know. It's a good question. Who knows these days? I mean, the way everything's going, I mean, one person's arrested for something stupid, and another person's not arrested for a heinous crime and claims immunity. So when right is good and good is wrong, yeah, it's time to be worried.
Hey, you have another story. I'm going to try to call. I'm going to try to call Lindsay real quick.
Yes, I do. I do.
All right, I'll be right back. Go ahead and handle it for a minute.
Okay. You guys all remember May 21st, Harold Camping. He predicted this Christian rapture thing, and we know it failed to come to fruition, except as he claims it was on a spiritual level. I found this interesting article. I mean, we heard about a couple stories of some people who took it a little bit too far and sold everything they had and got rid of their life savings. The family sold their house and moved to Florida. I mean, all over the place, people doing different things. This one here is in, this was published today, this morning, Associated Press, in Eugene, Oregon. The motive in a workplace shooting in Eugene is reportedly the ribbing one employee took from a coworker after the May 21st rapture failed to occur. The mother of the victim told Register Guard that her son said Dale O'Callaghan took it personally when he was needled about his belief that he would be taken to heaven by the return of Jesus Christ. O'Callaghan is accused of shooting Jerry Andrews on Friday at LHM Hydraulics where they worked. Andrews suffered a fractured shoulder. His mother said her son didn't want to speak with a reporter about the shooting, but she said O'Callaghan was expected to be taken up in the rapture. The 39-year-old O'Callaghan is being held in the Lane County Jail on an assault charge. I mean, if it's not one thing, it's going to be another as a result of this mess. I mean, it did so much damage. Coming out with a story like that. I mean, we're told not to be putting dates and times on things like that. And, you know, people are just going to be the laughingstock of the world for following this guy. Oh, man.
All right, I'm back. Lindsay said he's just getting ready to give us a call here. He's just tying up some loose ends.
Oh, okay, good.
So, yeah, that's all right.
I also have.
I'm going to get somebody to write my email. Hey, you said he was coming on at right when the show started, and it's 6:20. What's up with you? Why are you lying about Lindsay Williams?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, well, it's happened.
Yeah, I'd rather have Lindsay on than Janet Napolitano, though. Okay. I have.
Hey, well, at least we know this is the real Lindsay Williams.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, one of the funniest things, I was booking shows for July, and have you ever had Sirius Radio before?
Sirius or XM, no. I have a friend who did, but I did not personally.
All right. Well, I don't know if you know or not, but Martha Stewart, her daughter, Alexis, had a radio show with Jennifer Hutt, Whatever Radio, on Martha Stewart's channel, and... they have a show on the Do-It-Yourself Network or something like that where they spoof old Martha Stewart stuff. And Jennifer Hutt is a fellow Long Islander that's heavy into diet and exercise and stuff like that. So I reached out to her, and she's going to come on with us, and I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I've been listening to their show off and on for years whenever I could get serious.
Oh, that is so cool. That is really, really cool. Wow. So do you know, that's July?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, we're trying to up our game here, I suppose. And speaking of which, of course, we have the former chaplain from the Alaskan Pipeline joining us.
Oh, wonderful.
And he's predicted a lot that went on in the Middle East and the oil prices, and a regular on the George Norrie show, as well as very much a regular on the Alex Jones show, among others. Pastor Lindsey Williams, it is always a pleasure having you join us.
Truth Negative, it is great to be with you today. Thank you so very much. And you're right. I just had a briefing a few days ago by the Mr. X of my book, Energy Non-Crisis, and there are some exciting things right now. Well, I don't know whether we call them exciting, some encouraging, some not, but thank you for letting me be with you to tell you what has just happened.
Okay, no problem. You know my co-host as well. Every time you've been on, I've had my my co-host Unituber with me, otherwise known as Angie.
Good evening, Mr. Williams.
Angie, good afternoon.
How are you? Good to have you back.
I'm doing wonderful, and thank you for letting me be here with both of you.
Very excited to have you tonight.
Okay, so where do we want to go first here? Do we want to talk about Libya leading into Syria first, or do you want to unveil what you've learned? Or I'm going to let you direct us here at first, and we'll go accordingly.
Well, there's so much happening over in the Middle East, but I think all of that I gave back a number of weeks ago as to the fact that it was going to happen, and anyone who was willing to believe what the elite had told me back then, they expected this. It wasn't a surprise to anyone to see all of this happening, merely because, as you know, about, five, 6 months ago, the elite told me that within 3 to 4 months, this Middle East crisis would begin. I had the privilege of coming on your show and many other shows and saying there's going to be a crisis in the Middle East. I even told you where, after it began, of course, I went back to my elitist friend, and he actually told me what was going to happen, why they were doing it, where it was going to go from nation to nation. So anyone who happened to have been listening to your program back in those days, back about four or five months ago, they expected all this to happen. It was no surprise to anybody because the elite had already told me it was going to happen. So I'd like to give you today, if I can, the very latest of what my elitist friend has given me.
Oh, please, by all means.
I'm all ears.
Well, first of all, let me say that many of you have wondered where I've been for about a month. I wasn't on any shows at all up until last week, and I was actually outside the United States of America. My elitist friend had urged me for the past year to go outside the United States of America to a briefing, and I did. I was amazed. The family was gone a little over 3 weeks, and we just got back in the country about a week and a half ago. And it just so happens that just after I got back, I was on the phone with the individual who is a Mr. X in my book, Energy Non-Crisis, for two different conversations. And both of them, he gave me some very interesting information. I hope everyone out there in the listening audience has pencil and paper today, because you're going to get the very latest. I'm going to give you some actual names and dates. I'm going to give you some places. You'll be amazed at what the elite are doing. I'm sure that you're seeing it, but, of course, to actually understand why you're seeing what you're seeing is what most people don't know. I know everyone recognizes that things are very slow right now. The price of gasoline has either stabilized or gone down a little bit in your particular area. Gold and silver prices have stabilized or are going down. The consumer is not buying right now. There's so many things that you're seeing the signs, but to actually recognize what's happening and why they're doing it that way is what the average person doesn't know. Well, I'd like to fill you in if I can. Then you'll understand the entire picture because it'll be so plain when you put the pieces of the puzzle together. First of all, let me say to you, Proof Negative, and Angie, congratulations. You and other talk radio talk show hosts like you have definitely succeeded. I am so excited by what my elitist friend told me as to the fact that they are scared. Now, let me try to explain this. Many of you have heard me say, and especially those out there in your audience who have listened from time to time, you've heard me say that when I lived with the elite of the world for those 3 years, many years ago, I analyzed these people very carefully. I'd been a pastor of a church for 12 years prior to that, and, of course, naturally dealt with so many people. And I found that one of the things that the elite of the world, only one thing, really, that they're afraid of. What happens to the economy, they do it. I mean, what's taking place in the world, they plan it in advance. So none of that bothers them. There's
right.
only one thing on the face of this earth that literally scares the elite of the world to death, and that is when the masses begin to wake up. There's only a handful of them. There are millions of us. And when they see the masses, us, the ones that are conservative, people that believe like you and I do, when they see us waking up too fast and too many of us waking up, it scares the daylights out of them. And that is exactly what has happened. There have been so many voices out there speaking the truth and telling about what's happening. And they didn't expect this. They thought people would continue to be lulled to sleep. But they know that there's one thing that was waking up many people and causing them to ask questions, and that was the price of gasoline going back up again. So as a result, the elite plan to leave the price of gasoline no higher than $5 a gallon anywhere in the United States of America for possibly the rest of the summer. Now, it's not going to stay that way. You remember that they told me back, oh, my goodness, what was it, six, eight months ago, that the price of gasoline was going to go back up again, and they said that crude oil would go to $150 to $200 a barrel, and that hasn't changed one bit. The price of gasoline at the gas pump is going to go to $6 to $7 a gallon, but instead of continuing to carry it up and let too many people get upset and the American people waking up as fast as they are, they've decided to leave it about $5 a gallon for the rest of the summer. Come September, October, you're going to see that price go right back up again. And the reason they're doing this is because so many Americans have awakened, are revolting. Well, first of all, the elite took Glenn Beck out. I'm quite sure you recognize what happened to him with Fox News. Well, they got him fired.
He exposed George Kissinger, so they couldn't have any of that.
Yeah, so we're seeing some signs of the elite recognizing that they're in trouble. And because of that, show hosts like you and others, the elite decided they'd better back off on some things for a while, and you'll see a maximum of $5 a gallon. Now, you'll probably see that in California. You'll see it in Hawaii. You probably won't see it where you are. We are a little bit under $4 a gallon where I live, but they don't want it anywhere above $5 a gallon anywhere in the country. Second item that I've just been given, and this is exciting, and you want to have your pencils and paper ready because I'm going to give you some names and some places and so on that you'll want to go and search this out for yourself. You're going to be amazed. You remember that back 35 years ago, I actually watched the largest pool of oil on the face of the earth, which was just off the shore in the Arctic Ocean in northern Alaska, just north of Prudhoe Bay, where America's big oil field is in Alaska. You remember that I recorded in my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, a chapter entitled, If Gull Island Doesn't Blow Your Mind, This Will. And at the time it happened, I was actually there in the room with the top oil company executives that day, and they made the statement to me. They said, Chaplain, this is the largest pool of oil that's ever been discovered on the face of the earth. And in my book, Energy and Non-Crisis, you'll find it described in detail. It's the only place on the face of the earth that you'll find described in detail this pool of oil, because within 24 hours, the information was ordered classified, and as a result, it's never gone any further than my book. Well, at the time that it happened, I asked the gentleman who just passed away recently. You remember Mr. Ken Fromm was the Mr. X in my book, and he died. He was in his 80s, and he was the one that day that gave me that information. And I asked him that day, I said, Ken, why don't you allow this crude oil to go to the American people? I said, why don't you give us oil from our own soil? Why don't you let us have the great American dream and gasoline at 60 and 70 cents a gallon? And his response to me was, and I recorded it, so nobody can say it, didn't say it a long time before it happened. He said, Chaplain, we will not allow the oil from this new oil discovery. We will not allow it to be brought to the American people until we have the price of crude oil where we want it. And at the time I asked him, I said, where do you want it? And he said, Chaplain, I can't tell you. And he didn't, up until just before he passed away. They want crude oil to be $150 to $200 a barrel before they release the Gull Island field, which is one of the largest oil pools ever discovered on the face of the earth. Now, they also are causing the conflicts they're causing in the Middle East and will be cutting off one country after the other, the oil supplies, as the royal families are deposed and the leaders are thrown down. It's happened in Egypt. It's happened in Libya. It's happened in Yemen. It's spreading very rapidly right now to Jordan and Syria. Syria is jumping out of the saddle, and it will finally wind up in Saudi Arabia, where much of America's oil supply comes from. And because of this, they will have the price back up to where they want it. Well, my dreams have finally come true. You know, over the years, so many people, because there was no other proof except the proof in my book, Energy Non-Crisis, so many people have said, Chaplain, you didn't know what you were talking about. You just made that story up. It really didn't happen. Well, for once and for all, anybody that's ever said that won't be able to say it again, because everything that I said in that chapter is finally coming true. And my dreams, I've always wanted to see that chapter be a reality in my book, Energy Non-Crisis, and they've waited 35 years to do it. But here it is. I'm going to give it to you right now. And first of all, I want to give you this statement, because this is startling beyond words. The elite are getting ready for the day the revolution in the Middle East gets so severe that it is cutting off our oil supply. They are drilling as fast as they possibly can, and they want to have everything right ready so that when the Middle East comes to complete chaos, which it will, it's only a matter of time, total chaos, even down to Saudi Arabia, and whenever they have created the chaos they want over there with the Muslim brother, oh my goodness, this Muslim religion is spreading around this world with such wildfire until it is startling what's happening, and they're giving every nation in the Middle East to the Muslim Brotherhood. And they know that whenever that chaos in the Middle East has created such havoc with oil supply, that they will have the price of crude oil back to $150 to $200 a barrel, and they can bring in all these other oil fields that they could have given it to you at 60 cents a gallon at the gas pump years ago, but instead you'll be paying $6 and $7 a gallon at the gas pump. And one of the places they're opening up is the Gull Island field, just 2 miles out in the Arctic Ocean off of Prudhoe Bay in northern Alaska. And here's what just happened in the last few days. They know, this is what's so startling, they know the approximate date that the revolution will get so severe in the Middle East that they can bring on these oil fields, and they're beginning right now the drilling. Here it is. The biggest oil rig ever built on the face of the earth has, within just the past few weeks, been moved onto shore in northern Alaska, right on the ocean shore almost off the Arctic Ocean, right near West Dock. Now, you need to put down these places because you want to look them up for yourself. When you go and look at Prudhoe Bay, our big oil field in northern Alaska, you'll find a place there called West Dock. This is where they bring in the big flotilla every summer. Mm-hmm. And 2 miles directly out in the ocean from West Dock is a little island called Gull Island. And back 35 years ago, they put a drill rig on that island and actually drilled down and found this massive pool of oil, and they've left it sitting there for 35 years while the American consumer has had to suffer with oil prices. And all the time they could have had gasoline at 50 and 60 cents a gallon, and they didn't do it because the elite want total control of everything in America. And within the past few weeks, they have moved the biggest oil rig ever built on the face of the earth onto the shore at on the edge of the Arctic Ocean, and it is called, here goes, I was actually given the name just a few days ago, they're calling it the Liberty Rig.
Liberty.
Oh, really?
All this is going to do is put us in chains financially and economically. There's nothing free. There's nothing freeing about it.
Well, that's like the Patriot Act. It wasn't to ensure freedom. It was to get rid of freedom.
That's correct. Everything you're saying is exactly right. Now, they're calling this big rig the Liberty Rig. It is going to be drilling into, they finally have named the field. I called it back then Gull Island because that's what they called it. But they have actually named it now officially so that they've got a technical name for it. They're calling it the Lisbon Zone, not the Lisbon Field, but the Lisbon Zone. I hope some of you will look this up on the Internet. You'll find some of these things. It'll be exciting to you. And listen to what this thing's going to do. They have plans to drill 8 miles. Did you hear this? You know how far that is? This is over 40,000 feet. They are drilling 8 miles down into the Lisbon zone with the Liberty Rig, and they're beginning drilling right now because they know the approximate time that the Middle East will be in such chaos that they'll want to bring this zone in, proof negative. Isn't it amazing?
Lisbon, you mean, is that the same Lisbon that's in Portugal?
No. This has nothing to do with that at all. They just happened to name this zone that. For what reason, I don't know why they named it.
Okay.
But it's off the shore of the Arctic Ocean in northern Alaska. Now, the only place on the face of the earth you find this Gull Island or Lisbon zone talked about is in my book, Energy Non-Crisis. But Energy Non-Crisis went out of print about a year and a half, 2 years ago. People don't seem to read books much anymore. All they do is want to watch DVDs. So I didn't bring the book back into print because it would have cost $15,000 to $20,000, and at the time I just didn't have the funds to do it. But it finally is available. Any of you that would like to see this for yourself, see the map in it of where Gull Island is and the North Slope of Alaska, you can go now to Amazon Kindle on your computer. Go to Amazon Kindle, K-I-N-D-L-E, and type in the name of the Energy Non-Crisis. In fact, we have put two of our books on Amazon Kindle now. I have To Seduce a Nation and the Energy Non-Crisis. And we're letting you have it as cheap as it possibly could be put on now. Those people, usually people charge $15 to $25 for a book like this. This book is under $9. It's just basically putting it on the out there so that you can see it in print if you want to. So go to Amazon Kindle, and you'll be able to see Energy Non-Crisis and To Seduce a Nation for yourself. And look at the chapter. Gull Island will blow your mind. You'll know exactly where it is and where the Liberty Rig is now. And 8 miles down is amazing. You think what BP hit in the Gulf of Mexico was big. You haven't seen anything yet. You wait till they bring this oil find in, and they will hail it as a new find that the world's never known before. But do you realize going down 8 miles that they're doing what Russia did in that Kola SG-3 super deep wells where they went to 40,000 feet, and now they're doing it on the North Slope of Alaska to bring in the largest oil pool probably ever discovered on the face of this earth in the exact timing with what is happening in the Middle East and the chaos that's happening over there. I mean, this is, now, Go and look the next one up for yourself. You know, all of these years.
Why does it seem like we're so coincidentally in lockstep with what the Soviet Union did about 20 years ago?
Right.
Yeah, Soviet did it 20 years ago. You're right. Yeah. Now, every time they've ever tried to open up the Arctic Wildlife Refuge, the North Slope of Alaska, to additional drilling, or Alaska's Bristol Bay, every time they've tried, it's always failed. I mean, the ecologists rise up and have a fit, and Congress says no, and it was, and every time you've seen it happen over and over and over again, one big Ponzi game and play on words up there in Washington. Well, this time it did. It passed. Here it is. May the 12th, 2011, the House of Representatives very quietly. You never heard a thing about this. It didn't hit the national media. There was no big hullabaloo about it. The ecologist groups never rose up in arms. And the House of Representatives voted 243-179 in a very quiet, quick vote to open up some new oil fields. Guess where they are? The very ones that all of these years, every time a bill went before Congress, it would get defeated. It would hit national news. Oh, can't do it because we're going to hurt this or we're going to hurt that. There wasn't a peep raised this time. It went through very quietly, and the House of Representatives voted. And I don't know whether it's gone through the Senate or not. Nobody can find out. If it has, it's gone through so quietly until nobody knows about it. And they have said that they will allow drilling in the Arctic Ocean. Here it is, Gull Island, right in the bill. Alaska's Bristol Bay, Arctic Wildlife Refuge, all of these places that never before will they even, I mean, they were holy grails. You didn't dare touch it for any reason whatsoever. All of a sudden, with a very quiet vote, they say, oh, yeah, you can go ahead and do this. Isn't it amazing how when the elite want something done, they can pay off the number of votes that they need to get in Washington, D.C., because they control those bunch of scoundrels up there, and they get their way every time they want it, but they never allowed this to be open before until they knew the approximate date that the price of crude oil would go to $150 to $200 a barrel, and all of a sudden they say, oh, yes, we'll pass it with a very quiet, quick vote. And now they've got this big rig that's been building for numbers of months. You don't just get something up there overnight like this. They had every bit of this planned in advance to a T, the crisis in the Middle East, the bill to be passed by Congress, the vote passing very quietly with anybody saying nothing, at the very time they know the prices of crude oil are going up. What a bunch of scoundrels we've got in Washington. I hope when November next election comes around, you'll kick every one of them out. I have never seen such payoffs in all of my days. And the Bakken Zone. You remember up in North and South Dakota and Montana where they discovered oil recently? They've known it was there for years and years and years. They are drilling like wild up there.
One of your biggest fans actually works up there right now. He's with us here tonight, listening in. He might be calling.
Lindsay, you spoke to him last time, and I was supposed to hook you up, I think, with this gentleman. I think he's a manager at an oil rig up there, and you guys talked briefly, and you said you'd like to see what they do in North Dakota.
Yes, I did talk with him.
Yeah,
and he said that they're punching holes so fast up there that they can't do it fast enough. Yes, go ahead.
I'll give him your phone number personally. I don't do that to many people, but he's been a regular of my show the last couple of years, and I know that you and him will hit it off because you guys are in the oil know-how. So he'll call in here in a minute.
Well, they are punching holes in the Bakken Reserve just as fast as they can. Every permit, nobody gets denied permits, you know, if they're able to do it with the right rigs and so on. Why? They're getting everything. Well, the next item I wish I didn't have to talk about.
All right, well, before you get into that, let's go ahead and bring Rusty on. He heard the bat signal there, so we'll go ahead and save your next topic here for just a moment. Rusty, welcome in.
Welcome. It's a big honor to speak with you again, Lindsay. How are you doing?
Well, good to hear your voice. Thank you so much for listening tonight.
You bet. You know, last time you had asked me a couple of questions about the Bakken, and I didn't know the answers, and I went and found out. You'd asked me about the cost per well up there. It's about $2.6 million, and those are just numbers I run. I'm not privy to that information, but that's a guesstimation, you know, probably within a couple hundred thousand. We're drilling straight down about 16,000 feet, and then we're doing horizontal about another 5,000. The initial punch on it is about 3,500 barrels a day, and they've been leveling off to 300 to 500 barrels a day, and that 300 to 500 barrels a day is pretty much indefinite with these wells up there, and it is all light sweet crude.
Light sweet crude. Oh, this is
yep.
what I have heard from a number of sources. I'm so glad to hear you say this.
Yep, it is some fantastic stuff. I mean, I've seen some of it. You can put it on your hand, and it looks almost like it's been refined. It's nice, golden color, beautiful stuff.
Hmm.
So any refinery in America can refine it without polluting the atmosphere?
Shouldn't be any problem. The issue up there, of course, is the infrastructure. The roads are bad. The weather is a challenge and a half. I'm a safety guy. I've got 6 rigs. 4 of my 6 have been sitting in the same spot now for about a month because we can't move them because of the rain, and the roads have washed out. But, I mean, that's always an issue wherever you go. You always got to deal with, you know, with adverse weather conditions. But, the you know, and, of course, the cold weather, you know, at 50 below, even salt water freezes. So a lot of problems with that, too. But the payoff for those wells are just phenomenal up there. A lot of small companies getting into it. A lot of the small mom-and-pop oil companies are the ones that are really doing, you know, a lot of the moving and shaking up there.
And a lot of people are drilling, you say?
Oh, yeah. My company, we're one of the top 10. I'm on the drilling end. We've got 25. We had another one move in. I've got 25 up there. We're punching them about every 17 days per rig. Neighbors has probably 30 rigs up there running, and then a lot of the small drilling companies, because we're just short on iron up there. So a lot of these old, you know, these old rigs that have been decommissioned and sitting in farmers' pastures for a long time, they're coming out of commission and they're putting them back up. We're short on iron. My company's building 4 a month right now, from the ground up down in Houston, and that's capacity for us. That's all we can do.
Now, have any of you up there heard anything about this field in Alaska that I mentioned just a moment ago?
I have, and we've talked about it a couple of times. My company doesn't do anything in Alaska, but there are others that I work around that do. And, yeah, Alaska, everybody's predicting it's going to be the new rush. You know, right now, that North Slope with Shell has had a lot of problems. Shell invested heavily in the infrastructure up there under the promise from the government that they were going to get the permits. I don't know, they sunk a couple hundred million into infrastructure, and then the feds pulled the permits. So, you know, a lot of those guys that I knew that were working up there came back.
Well, I wish you the best on the Bakken. Ever we needed it, we need it right now. And, of course, they've known that field was there for a long time, but they're finally letting you do what you're doing, so congratulations.
Well, it's a great move, and it employs a lot of folks. You know, the biggest issue up there is lack of infrastructure, lack of equipment, and, you know, just things like trucks to haul water to the rigs. We're short on that, and I think we've hired every wheat farmer's kid in the state of North Dakota. And most of the roughnecks now are coming in from as far away as Texas. I mean, they're flying in, you know, working 2-week hitches and then coming back to wherever they go. A lot of them coming from Washington. A lot of those guys were, you know, Alaska guys. So that's our biggest issues up there right now is labor shortage, equipment shortage, and the infrastructure. In fact, it's so bad that the majority of the natural gas up there is just being flared. There's no room to put in pipeline. There is no pipeline. I believe Hess has some kind of a compression deal, a gasification deal, where they're, you know, compressing the natural gas, but that only goes so far. So whenever you're ready, you just let me know. Proof's got my contact info. If you want to come up, I'll give you a day or a two. Well, up there it's probably going to be a two-day tour, and I'll run you around.
Ideally, love to see it. I'm so glad you're there. Keep up the good work. America needs it as we've never needed it before. And I'm just so happy for what you're doing, because if, you know, they've known this was there so long, and yet they wait until they get the price where they want it.
Yeah, I actually went, I believe it's north of Tioga, North Dakota, to where they punched the first well up there, and it was 1951, and there's actually a little commemorative, like, plate or a plaque there on the side of the road when there's not so much snow over the top of it that you can see it. But I actually stopped there. I think I got a couple of pictures of it. So it's been there for a while. We've known it's been there. It's a good thing for the local economy. It's a good thing for America. You're going to really start seeing a lot of American crude flowing into the pipelines here probably over the next 6 to 8 months. So it's a good thing.
Wonderful. Well, if you ever have an opportunity, I'd love to talk to you otherwise, so we'll get together on the telephone again if we can sometimes.
I'm available 24/7. Just give me a buzz.
Well, I don't think I have your number. Don't give it out to me.
That's all right. Yeah, Rusty, check your email.
Gotcha. I'll check it.
Yeah, and let's be in touch.
I will, absolutely. I appreciate it, and I thank you for all that you're doing, and I appreciate all your information. Y'all have a good evening.
Good night,
Rusty. Likewise. Thanks for calling in.
You bet. Adios.
All right, there goes Rusty, one of our faithful regulars here. So if anyone else wants to jump in here, I'll go back to the phones in about 10 minutes or so. I want to make sure Unituber has enough time to get some questions in as well, and then Pastor Williams has some other not-so-good news.
Well,
hopefully. This ought to be good.
Well, I really, you know, the first two items I gave are really encouraging. You can take that vacation this summer. You know that the price of gasoline at the gas pump is not going to go up. You remember about, what was it, 2.5 years ago, Mr. X of my book, Energy Non-Crisis, who at that time, he was still alive. I could not give his name. He was Mr. Ken Fromm. And he called me on the phone one day and he said, Chaplain, the price of crude oil is going from $147 a barrel to $50 a barrel. Do you want the world to think you're a prophet? And he said, tell it to everybody you can. Well, I did. And about 3 months later, it went right where he said it would, down to $50 a barrel. Nobody thought it would ever happen, but it did. Well, this time I'm telling you good news. It's going to stay somewhere around $5 a gallon at the very highest any place in America for the rest of the summer. Enjoy it, because it is going to go up. Now, of course, I'd like to give you the pot oil, and then, of course, Gull Island. That is encouraging. A dream come true for me. After 35 years, I'm finally seeing the chapter in my book, If Gull Island Doesn't Blow Your Mind, this will. I'm seeing it vindicated. Now I'd like to tell you the other part that the gentleman, the Mr. X of my book, Energy Non-Crisis, who is alive, retired oil man, and he told me something that I would like not to have to predict, but I don't know how to get around it. I want you to know what's happening, because at least if you know, you can do something about it. So I'll start it this way. The elite are laughing at Americans, and this is sad. They think the average American is stupid. Now, keep in mind that about 4 or 5 months before it took place, I predicted, because one of my latest friends had told me, I am not a prophet. I did not know this from some divine revelation or from tea leaves or anything like that, or a dream. I actually was told it by my latest friend that the price, that the Middle East crisis was going to begin, and I came on your station and said the price of crude oil is going to a certain place. The Middle East crisis is going to be created to take it there, and I told you exactly what was going to happen. But the part that is so sad is that everything in the Middle East was created. All the people over there that killed, hundreds, they're probably going to be thousands before it's over with, murdered, Egypt, Libya, Yemen. Now we're going into Syria, Yemen, Saudi Arabia, royal families deposed, heads of state thrown down. Every bit of this was planned literally years in advance. I knew about it approximately 6 months before it happened. I came on the radio stations and told you it was going to happen. The elite planned every bit of this, but the part that is so disturbing is that the average American hasn't got, okay, I'll try to put it mildly if I can. The elite are laughing at us, thinking that we're stupid because they have conned the American into their taxes paying for the war in the Middle East. You and every taxpayer in America are paying for the elite's wars, and they've been able to con you into doing it from the president right on down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts me to even think about the fact that Egypt, Libya, Yemen, every one of these wars you are paying for on behalf of the elite so that the elite can destroy you. I don't know how to put it any other way. American taxpayers are paying for their own demise. They're paying for their own destruction. It's so sad. And the elite are sitting back laughing at the Americans because we are allowing this to happen. Let me give you an example. And, of course, since then, it's open. I mean, Congress did something this past week. I'll go over with you in just a moment or two. You remember when Congress was calling the hand of the president about 2 weeks ago and saying the conflict in Libya is contrary to the 1973 Wars Powers Resolution, and you've got to report to Congress within 60 days after it starts if it is hostility. And the president was so bold and blatant that he outright refused to give to Congress any reason why we are there. Now,
right.
Mr. Obama rejected the opinion of two of his highest paid people who are legal advisors. Let me give you their names because this is so startling. Mr. Obama rejected the opinion of Jay Johnson, the Pentagon General Counsel, and Carolyn Crass, the acting head of the Justice Department Legal Counsel, and the New York Times reported on this. Johnson and Crass both told the White House they believed that the U.S. military action led by NATO, the air war over Libya, amounted to hostilities. And the president boldly and blatantly shook his finger in the face of Congress and said, I am not giving you a report. I don't care what you do. Well, to my utter disgust, Congress this past week voted. I mean, a bunch of scoundrels. I cannot believe that the American people let them get by with this. They voted, Congress did this past week, to allow the president to have all the money he wanted to continue the conflict in Libya. After all of the...
Right. Well, it's a one-party system, so I guess we have to get used to it.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing how the Congress can get by with this and how the president can get by with it and then vote to go ahead and let him continue it? So here's what I was told by my elitist friend. You, the American taxpayer, are paying for the war in the Middle East to depose every royal family, to do away with every head of state, to give every country in the Middle East, Egypt, Libya, Yemen, Jordan, Syria, Saudi Arabia, Oman, you are going to be giving every one of these countries to the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean... The Quran, the Sharia law, I can't for the life of me understand where the Americans are. And you're paying for it with your taxpayer money. You are paying for the war.
Lindsay,
well, what would have happened if Congress would have stood up and say we're not funding this?
Yeah.
Could Obama have just used an executive order?
Oh, Obama probably could have used an executive order, but he could have been impeached for this. I mean, this is contrary to the 1973 War Powers Resolution, and his top two legal advisors told him it was hostility, and yet Congress, the bunch of spineless pansies, I have never seen such a bunch of weaklings in my life that won't stand up to this guy. They went and passed to give him the money he needed to continue the war, and yet we're financially destitute in this country. We've got $14 trillion plus of national debt.
Yeah, we have Ron Paul going out in public and saying we need to file bankruptcy as a country.
We've got to. There's no way around it. I mean, but the part that is so disturbing to me is, as I mentioned a moment ago, I talk on a regular basis with one of the elite of the world, and whenever I hear things like, we are laughing at the Americans, we think Americans are stupid,
mm-hmm.
and they are. Anybody that would allow Congress to get by with this without impeachment, something is wrong, even after legal counsels say that it shouldn't be, that it is hostility, and yet they turn around. And isn't it very interesting that the Speaker of the House played golf with President Obama
exactly.
just 1 week prior to passing this bill?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we, Americans? Anyway, I felt that I had to give you that because now they know the timetable. They've got the American government and the American taxpayer paying for their war that they created for the purpose of destruction of the American dollar and bringing our economy down. Now they're bringing on these oil fields that I'm so glad the gentleman called in a moment ago because he said that there's a marker up there stating that the first well was drilled many, many years ago. They have known for 20 and 30 years that oil was up there, but they've waited until now to open up the Bakken Reserve. They've waited until now to drill into Gull Island, which I said in my book 35 years ago was there, every bit of it, because they now know where the price of crude oil is going to go coming this fall. And if the American public will be on their knees, folks, this is what they want. This is where they're headed. They want you to beg for some gasoline for your gas tank. They want oil supply from the Middle East to be cut off to the point that even if you went to the service station and were willing to pay $6 a gallon, you won't be able to get it. They want you to beg for oil at gasoline at $6 to $7 a gallon. They want the American dollar to collapse to the point that its purchasing power goes so low that grocery prices and hardware store prices will be so high and the dollar so worthless. They want you to be begging and pleading for a new currency, and the World Bank will step into the picture and say, we will give you a new currency. I want to give you what I heard just a week and a half ago. This is so startling. You're going to hear this word more and more now. They're not going to be talking anymore about world reserve currency. You're not going to hear that expression out of the media anymore. What are they talking about now? Every time you hear about it from this point on, you're going to hear, you ready? Write it down, petrodollars. No, not American greenbacks, not American world reserve currency. From now on, everything that the elite want in their jargon is petrodollars. And it's not going to be the American dollar for the sale and trade of crude oil around the world. They now are getting ready to usher in, their new world order currency, and they'll be saying petrodollar. Let me give you an expression that you heard me say so many times on this show and on other shows for the past 2 to 3 years. When Mr. Fromm was alive, he used to talk about the fact that the American dollar, of course, would not be used any longer for the sale and trade of crude oil, but he used to use the expression that the standard currency of the world is crude oil. And I used to wonder back then, while the American dollar was still the reserve currency of the world and was used for the sale and trade of crude oil everywhere, I wondered why he was using the expression that that the standard currency of the world is crude oil, because it is. It's not any dollar. And it definitely is not the American dollar, the reserve currency of what was the reserve currency of the world. Now it's going to be the new petrodollar, the new world order currency. And by the way, folks, don't worry about what's happening to gold and silver prices. I know some of you are a little upset because silver has dropped drastically. Gold has gone down slightly. It means nothing except that you ought to buy more as fast as you can get it. The gold and silver prices come this fall are going to escalate phenomenally. And right now, the elite, the powers that be, are buying gold and silver at a rate that will startle you to no end. And they know that come this fall, I have the figures. I want you to jot this one down. Put it beside your calendar, and you'll find it. Gold and silver prices will remain where they are approximately through August. Come September through December, gold and silver prices are going to increase by 20 to 25%. Now, I know some of you are getting ready to sell out because you think that it's going to drop further. It may drop a little bit, but it's going to go up drastically this fall. Why? Everything must fit into place. Number one, the Middle East crisis must get so severe that you will be begging for two things. Number one, gasoline. Number two, the dollar will collapse to the point that you'll be begging for a new currency. So the Middle East crisis is going to escalate very tremendous. The thousands of people are going to lose their lives while the elite are playing war in order to be able to cut off oil supply. Secondly, they must open these oil fields. Oh, my gracious, I'm glad your friend is up there drilling so fast in the Bakken Reserve, because anybody up there is going to make a fortune. Then they're going to open up the North Slope. All of this is timed perfectly so that they can have everything dovetailed together at exactly the right timing. And they know, they haven't given me the date, but they know the approximate time that the Middle East crisis is going to get so severe that it will cause the crisis in America that they want to take place. And at the same time, you're going to see inflation. You're going to see grocery prices go up. You're going to see all across America bankruptcies galore because the people have practically stopped spending. The consumer index is horrible. So all of this fits together perfectly with the name of the game is control, which the elite wish to do. Don't sell that gold and silver. You will be glad when you see it starting to go back up again this fall that you are in the market, because you're going to see it increase drastically, proof negative. And Angie, go ahead, in case you have some thoughts here.
Go ahead, Angie. But afterwards, we got one more caller. So
sure.
If you want to go ahead and get a question or two in, Angie, it's fine.
Okay. I was just looking at your website on your blogspot, lindseywilliams101.blogspot. And you have a couple of things mentioned there that, you know, you're covering very, very thoroughly already. You're saying that the U.S. will default on the national debt. And I know there's been a lot of talk right now with people in Congress and the administration saying that they want to raise the debt limit. And do they do it? Do they not do it? Timothy Geithner is, this is going to be what's going to happen, and it's going to be negative, and it's going to be a terrible thing if we default. We're going to have to raise the ceiling limit. Michelle Bachmann's out here now with her running in the race now, and she's saying that it's scare tactics. I mean, there's a lot of different opinions on this. You're saying that we will absolutely default on the national debt, and do you see a time frame for that?
Let me give you the best that I can where we stand on this. Back about 2 to 3 years ago, I was told by Mr. Fromm when he was alive, and the expression was exactly like this. He said, "Chaplain, whenever the Federal Reserve begins to buy its own treasury bills, when the other countries of the world and the super wealthy of the world don't show up to buy our T-bills and our Federal Reserve issues any longer, and the Federal Reserve has to buy its own dead. He said, Chaplain, it's all over. And he said, you watch that. Well, at the time, the Federal Reserve was not buying any of their own debt. They began back about, what, 8-9 months ago when the world ceased showing up to buy the Federal Reserve issues. The Federal Reserve began buying its own notes. Now, this is not the increase. What I'm talking about does not relate to the increase of the debt ceiling. This is another whole default. I'm talking about the default of the $14 to $15 trillion debt that's been out there on the books now for the last year or two. We've known it was there. And this is the debt that Mr. Fromm was talking about. It will be defaulted on, and this is going to be horrifying. Now, Congress can go ahead and raise the debt ceiling all they want to, but it is not going to stop a default on the national debt of $14 to $15 trillion. Yeah, go ahead, Angie.
I was just saying, I agree 100%. And I remember that Hillary Clinton went over to China, I think it was in March or May of 2009, with this whole eminent domain deal. And we default on our debt, and that's not going to be looking very good for us. I know Japan used to be the highest holder of our debt, and I believe they sold a lot of that to China, and I'm thinking like 60-70% of that to China, if I recall, which would make China the largest holder of our debt. So we default on our debt. The first person that's going to come call, or first nation, I should say, that's going to come calling is China. And
can you imagine Walmart without a single item on the grocery, on the shelves marked made in China? I mean, China will be so angry when this happens. Now, we thought back 6 or 8 months ago that China held about $1.5 trillion worth of national debt. No. We have found out since that they hold over $2 trillion worth of national debt.
Right.
And maybe even up to three. We don't know the exact amount. I was given the figure just this week that the Federal Reserve has bought. This is so startling, it almost makes me shudder to think about it. The Federal Reserve has bought its own paper, which was issued in order to cover the interest on the national debt, and others wouldn't show up to buy it because they don't trust the American dollar anymore. They don't trust the Federal Reserve note anymore. They don't trust T-bills anymore. The Federal Reserve has holds right now somewhere in the neighborhood of $2.3 to $2.7 trillion worth of its own paper that it has bought itself in order to keep our economy from totally collapsing. And this was just found out this past week. And this is what Mr. Fromm was talking about. Whenever the Federal Reserve begins to buy its own debt, he said, Chaplain, it's all over with. Now, as you know, I have predicted numbers of times that there was a timeline that the elite wished to keep. And it's toward the end of 2012, they have a timeline for a number of things that they want to happen. I do not know, and I am not predicting, that this is the default timeline for the national debt. I know it is the timeline they have for the total destruction of the American dollar. As you've heard me say, that they want the dollar to be dead by the end of 2012. Not non-existent, but be dead to the people point that people are begging for it again. Go ahead, Angie.
We got a caller coming up here in just a minute, but I just real quick, I just wanted to know, is it your opinion that we have the ability to withstand a Chinese invasion in the event that we were to default and they were to take action on that?
China has more troops in uniform today, right now, today, than all the citizens of the United States of America combined. They do have the ability to do things that would be near unbelievable because of the number of manpower they have. Who knows what will happen when we default on our national debt? It is going to be so catastrophic until it will be near unbelievable. But someone said to me the other day, that why would the elite destroy their own country? They aren't destroying their own country at all. The elite want to bankrupt everything. Why did they bankrupt General Motors? They wanted to take it over. Took it
right
over through the Treasury of the United States of America by way of the Federal Reserve. Why did they bankrupt Chrysler? Why did they bankrupt AIG? the elite never buy anything or take anything over until they bankrupt it first.
Okay.
So nearly everything in America, whenever they bring it to the point of total bankruptcy, the destruction of the dollar, petrodollars, not the American dollar being the reserve currency of the world, get us to the place that the Middle East has cut off our fuel supply, on and on and on we go. Whenever all of this gets to the point that they can take it over, they literally can step in, and you've heard me use the expression so many times, the name of the game is control, and then over a period of years, they will bring this whole system back out of its chaos under their auspices. This is their plan. Now, fortunately, I have read the last chapter, and you have too. As
That's
a Christian,
right.
You have read the Bible. And there's one thing that the elite have not counted on. They don't know him, and they have not counted on him. And Nimrod didn't count on it at the Tower of Babel either when he tried to form the first New World Order. You know, New World Order is nothing new.
Now you're talking.
Read in the book of Genesis. Nimrod tried it at the Tower of Babel. And God came down and confounded the languages of the people and scattered them all over the earth. And they had to go on their way, and Nimrod's project was a failure. Well, the same thing's going to happen again. I don't know how far we'll have to go into this before the divine intervention takes place. But at some point, the Lord is going to step in, and the New World Order will be destroyed, and the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lords is going to set up his throne on the face of this earth and will rule in a righteous kingdom. But what the elite want to do is bring it all to total chaos, to total bankruptcy, and then bring it out under their auspices in a New World Order.
I agree 100% on that. I really, really do. And that's going to be an exciting day. But I think,
all right, let's bring on one of our callers here. I feel bad. I have another question myself, but I know Mind Over has been waiting. Go ahead. Tyreek in Georgia, go ahead.
I almost forgot my question. I've been listening.
Sorry.
So much
I didn't
good.
Want to interrupt the
gentleman. Well, no, it was so much good knowledge. I mean, wow.
Another caller after you, too, so I hate to say make it quick, but go ahead.
No, let's go ahead. Let's have his what is your question?
And what you were talking about there falls in line with some dreams I had about China. But anyway, what do you see us doing with, what is it, Pakistan? I mean, if we mess with Pakistan, China's got their back. So I mean, how do you see that playing out? And do you know about any food shortages this coming winter?
The elite, whenever I ask them questions, sometimes they will answer my questions, and sometimes they will just totally evade me. When it gets into Pakistan and some of the things that are taking place in that part of the world, they don't seem to want to talk about it. They did mention the fact that out of Pakistan comes more illegal drugs and opium than any other place in the world. And the only reason in the world that we are in Afghanistan and are playing around in Pakistan whatsoever is because we're protecting the bankers' interests in Afghanistan for drugs which are being brought into this country oftentimes by some of our own government agencies. But they won't go into depth and talk with me about this.
Mm-hmm. What about food shortages?
There's going to be no food shortage in America whatsoever. I think I'll give this. You probably didn't hear it when I gave it before. I was talking with one of these individuals one day, and he said there's not going to be any shortage of food and water. He said there'll be no shortages on the grocery store shelf, but he said you may go hungry. And, of course, I was startled. You know, these people think in such different terms than what you and I think. I've written 3 books trying to explain the mindset of the elite because they don't think like we think. And I said, what do you mean that there'll be plenty of groceries on the grocery store shelf, but we may go hungry? He said, Chaplain, in the New World Order, if there's a problem in Florida because of weather or something else, he said, we just bring in the produce from somewhere else. He said, if there's a problem in California, we still can bring it in from anywhere in the world. He said, there are not going to be any shortages on the grocery store shelf whatsoever. But he said, you may go hungry. And I said, what do you mean I may go hungry? He said, the dollar, now please, this is so important. He said the dollar is going to collapse in its purchasing power so drastically that you will not have the currency to be able to go to the grocery store and buy what your family needs.
Hmm.
You see, these people think they think in such weird terms. And the things that they do, they have planned so far in advance. And I feel so honored that by the providence of God, I had an opportunity to meet some of these people years ago so that at least I can warn the American public of much of their mindset.
Wow.
So if you haven't gotten my DVDs, I would urge you. I have produced two different DVD sets. One is a six-set DVDs of 8 hours of viewing of everything the elite have told me over the past 3 years. And just recently, just weeks ago, I produced a second DVD set of three DVDs, 3 hours of viewing, entitled The Middle East, The Rest of the Story. Both of these are available, and they tell everything that's going to happen through 2012, where the Muslim Brotherhood fits into this, why they're having the war in the Middle East, how they created it, what's going to happen with the American oil fields, and every bit of this I told before it ever began, and it's recorded. People know when the DVDs were produced so that a person can know everything necessary in order to spare their household. And you can. You don't have to stay awake at night worrying about this. And there's no reason for you not to prepare if you know what the elite are going to do.
All right, makes sense.
So the best way to prepare yourself then simply has to be knowledge. You know, you have to understand what's going on, and you have to be prepared spiritually and mentally, because physically, like you said, there isn't much you can do. It's just a matter of common sense and learning about survival, because their tentacles are very long, I am sure. There's no way anybody can fully 100% be ready for what's coming, because it just can't be done.
Well, the expression I've been using recently is... I personally, Lindsay Williams, I never lose sleep at night or worry about any of the things that are happening in the world. Nothing ever surprises me anymore because the elite have told me everything that they're doing. And I have prepared to the best that I can in advance in light of what they're doing. And that's the reason I gladly tell you everything that they give to me, is because I want you to be prepared also. And then you won't have to live under stress, because prepare the best you can and go ahead and live a normal life knowing what they're going to do.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, I'm back. Sorry about that. I had to deliver some mangosteen to one of my friends. He came to the door, so sorry about that.
One last question, then I'm going to go. Do you know anything about the supposed U.N. troops or Chinese troops on the Mexican border?
I have heard this just like you have, but to be able to authenticate it, I know it comes from many reliable sources, but the elite have not said anything to me about it. Therefore, I try to stick with what I am told and not go any further, because I get in trouble whenever I start making predictions about things that I cannot prove or disprove.
Right.
So as a result, over these past 35 years, I don't think there's a single prediction that the elite have ever given me that I made that didn't come to pass, merely because I stick with the material that they give me.
That's the best way to do it. When you're telling the truth, you always tell the same story. That's how people can tell the difference between a liar and someone that tells the truth, because a liar has to keep trying to remember their stories, and the story is constantly changing.
Right. All right, mind over. Thank you so much for joining us today, Tyreek.
All right, thank you.
All right, now let's go to our final caller here, and then I got a couple of quick questions, and I'm sure Lindsay wants to finish up his evening here. So, Charles, go ahead. You're on the air.
Good evening, Lindsay.
Good evening.
Okay, basically, I've been watching the markets a lot in the past couple of months, and what I noticed in May was that there seemed to be billions of dollars going into shorting the stock market. Now, recently, you know, I'm sure you've been watching this too. They have the whole thing about QE2 ending in a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Where QE, for people that don't know, is where QE2 is where the Fed was buying $600 billion worth of T-bills and all this stuff that your friend has warned you about. Okay, so now, with what you're saying now, I think it's pretty, I mean, I don't think it's like a prediction or anything. I think it's pretty obvious or pretty clear that they're going to rise the dollar during the summer. The dollar is going to be coming up, and the stock market's most probably going to be going down. That doesn't mean it's going to go straight down. Like right now, it could just go up for a little bit. But from what you're saying, I've been putting these pieces of the puzzle together for a while now, and now it just all came together. So basically what that also would mean is, and I'm just wondering if you got any word on this, a new stimulus package, a QE3 or something like that, would you say that that's pretty much, everybody knows, anyone that's been following this knows it's inevitable, but I guess what you're saying is there's a good chance that's coming September to October, huh?
The stock market is completely controlled. Don't pay any attention to it whatsoever. It means nothing. The only signs would be when the price of crude oil begins to go back up, you know that the elite are beginning to pull the plug again. The stock market will, at some point, when they are ready for it to, it will crash. Gold and silver.
Oh, right, I know. Well, the reason why it has relevance, at least to me, is when the dollar is going up, the stock market's going down. But eventually,
yes.
I'm sure that's going to disconnect because the dollar is just going to crash anyways. It seems to make a lot of sense what you're saying now, because with all this, the QE2 going away, it does seem to be the case that things are going to stay the way they are, or prices might go down. We might have a little deflation here, is what I'm saying, because people have been warning about this for a while. You know, you have the inflation versus the deflationist people. And now it looks like we're going to have a summer of deflation, and what they're causing is, what I've been reading, and it makes sense, that now that the prices have gone down, they're going to cause a bigger problem with the supply because people that were drilling before and mining, now they'll stop. And then it'll cause an even bigger problem, and it's going to cause the prices to go up even higher. But, just wanted to get your take on that, and have a great night, and take care.
You are exactly right. Everything you've just said is true. The more deep end that they get us with QE3 or whatever it may be, the more they buy their treasury notes, the deeper in they get us, the more in debt they get us, the more horrifying the crash is going to be when it does come. But that's exactly what they want, because then they gain total control. So everything you've just reasoned is the same way that I see it.
All right. Now, I want to just ask a couple things from the chat room here. We have Tiscali.
Yes.
Calling from, instant messaging from Thailand. He wants to know what you see happening with the collapse of Europe, because we spent a lot of time talking about the Middle East and, of course, the U.S. Where does Europe fall into this, whether it's Spain, Portugal, Greece? What do you see?
It definitely falls into it, and the word that I have given to people as a warning is whenever you see the European Union begin to have more and more trouble and the euro finally will crash. It'll break up. It'll crash. And when it does, the Americans have only a number of days in order to get out of paper. Anything that's written on paper is worth, on a piece of paper, it's worth the paper it's written on. And you must get out of your paper within a certain number of days after the euro crashes. But, yes, that problem over there is not going away anytime soon.
Okay. And another one here from Critic in Washington. He wants to know that back in October of 2009, you were on Alex Jones's show, and you mentioned at that point that the elite were not pleased with Obama because he wasn't moving fast enough. Do you feel as though the elite like him now, or do they still feel that he's lagging?
The elite have him pretty much around their finger. He has no choice but to do what they say. He risked his career whenever he said, "I will not report to Congress because of what's happening in Libya." But then, of course, Congress gave him all the money he wanted, so he's safe now. But, yes, they have had their share of problems out of him and have expressed it to me. Yet, on the other hand, they seem to be able to bring him in tow and get him to do everything that they want him to do. So he's pretty much accomplishing what they would like for him to do.
Okay, and someone else is asking me here. Germany seems to be about the most stable country as far as finances goes in Europe. Can this be something where the Germans can gain control of Europe again?
I don't think so. I think the European Union is in such drastic condition right now because of Greece and Spain and Ireland and many other countries, Portugal, are in so much trouble until I don't think Germany's wealth and progress will be able to overcome it.
Okay. Now, Yuna, do you have any other questions before Pastor Williams departs, since we've had him for an hour?
Oh, man. I love hearing. I love listening. I like learning. I'm just grateful that he was here again tonight and got to bring some new information to the table. It was very good to hear. Very good to know.
Now,
well,
Pastor Williams, I did get a few requests, though, and I don't know how you want to do this here, but a couple times when you came on, you closed us out with a prayer. Is that something we can do?
I would welcome the opportunity, and just before we do, I hope you have pencils and paper that you've been writing down some notes tonight.
Right.
I urge you to please get my DVD series. I have two of them. One is a 6-DVD series of everything that the elite have told me for the past 3 years. It's got the devil's Messiah in it. You've got to understand this. Please understand how the Muslim Brotherhood fits into all this. Understand what they're doing to the churches of America. Understand the stock market and the gold market in light of what these people are doing. There's so much in these 6 DVDs. It's an 8-hour viewing on your television set. And then my second DVD series just produced weeks ago, 3 DVDs, 3 hours of viewing, entitled The Middle East, The Rest of the Story. Now, you can prepare yourself. And in this latest presentation, I give you 13 things that you must do immediately in order to get your house ready for the things that the elite have told me that they're going to do. Please write down our toll-free number. And by the way, we've had such a response to this that we have operators standing by 24 hours a day. It matters not where you are or whether it's in the middle of the night or the middle of the day. You can call this toll-free number. And our toll-free number is 888-799-6111. Or you can go on the web to prophecyclub.com. That's prophecyclub.com. Or toll-free. And, oh, by the way, an American operator will answer the phone. You won't have to worry with foreigners on this one. Right here in America, we stay that way. And the number is 888-799-6111. And my DVDs are not copywritten. I hope you understand what that means. That means I want you to give them to every one of your friends. Copy them, give them out to everybody you can. We don't have time to be greedy. Please get an original set of these in our nice, beautiful folder, and then copy them, give them out to every person you can, 888-799-6111, or our prophecyclub.com. Get an original copy so that you give out those that look good and help me get the message out. And I want to say, Proof Negative, and also Angie, my appreciation for you allowing me to be on your show tonight. Every time,
you know, if I can interrupt here, can I get the name of those DVDs one more time, the 6-DVD set as well as the new one?
Yes, the 6-DVD sets are available, and also the new ones are available at this time.
Yeah, what are the names of those so that I can put them on our website?
The 6-DVD set is entitled The Elite Speak. Elite Speak, and the latest DVD set, just produced a few weeks ago, The Middle East, the rest of the story. And there's one thing in the Middle East, the rest of the story, that is worth the entire 3 hours, the three DVDs. It's worth it just to see one thing. I was given a map of everything that the Muslim Brotherhood intend to do. Now, this is not just the Middle East. This has to do with Europe, America. You are going to be dumbfounded at the intentions and the plans of the Muslim Brotherhood and Islam. Just that one about 5 to 6 minute clip will be worth the entire DVDs. You must know what the plans of the Muslim Brotherhood are and how the elite are supporting the Muslim Brotherhood and what they're doing. So the Middle East, the rest of the story, and then the six DVD series, The Elite Speak.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Williams, and if you want to take us out with a prayer, we would definitely appreciate that here.
Gladly. Our Father, which art in heaven, we do thank you for your holy word. We thank you that you tell us way back in the Old Testament where Nimrod tried to establish the first new world order. And Father, you stepped down and confounded their languages and spread them through the then known world. Now, Father, we know that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We know that you will rule and reign on the face of this earth, and the millennial period will be 1,000 years of your glorious reign. And Father, we see the new world order doing exactly what it did at the Tower of Babel all over again. And we ask for your guidance. We pray that you will step in. We seek divine intervention. There are many of us here who love you. We know your Son, Jesus, as our Savior. And Father, for those in this listening audience who do not know Christ as their Savior, may they, after this program, get out on their knees beside wherever they're listening and trust Jesus as their Savior, ask for forgiveness of sin, and ask to be born again so that they can set that spiritual house in order. We request this, and that the Holy Spirit will lead them in doing this. And then, Father, that you will intervene in this world, and we'll see your mighty hand at work. And I want to thank you for Proof Negative, and I want to thank you for Angie and allowing me to be on this program tonight. And we request the honor of your presence with everything that's been said so that your name will be glorified, that you will be honored, and that there is a time when we will see your word fulfilled and you will do away with all the powers of this world and set up righteousness and honesty on the face of this earth. And this we ask in the name of your Son. We ask it to our Heavenly Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wow, what a prayer. That was wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for the privilege.
Oh, it's and our pleasure.
Anytime I get a briefing from the elite, I'm more than happy to give it to you. So we'll stay in touch.
Okay. Well, you have my phone number as well, Pastor Williams. Anytime you want to come on, you have the golden key to Freedomizer Radio here.
Thank you very much. Lord bless you and everything you're doing. And it's because of you and people like you that the Americans are going to enjoy $5 or less per gallon all summer long.
Sorry,
thank
it shouldn't
you.
Be funny. All right, Pastor Williams, I'll get a hold of you and see when we can have you on either at the end of July or early August, unless news comes first.
Thank you so much. Lord bless, and have a great evening.
You too. Have
All
a
right.
great
evening. Thank you so much.
Good night.
All right, on that note, we have not taken a break yet since about 8 after 6. So let's go ahead and grab a break time in here. And, wow, we got a ton of stuff to go over, don't we?
We do.
All right, including stupid news of the week. And I don't know if we're having a Tomorrow's Harvest finding here or not. So I was told they may or may not be here. So
okay.
I don't want to jeopardize the streak, but someone told me they might show up, and I didn't list it, so I didn't add it.
Okay. Well, that's not a problem. We got enough stuff to cover, I'm sure.
I think so. All right. We'll be right back, guys.
Okay.
I still meet people who believe that in tough times that Big Brother will save their skin. Really. The list of cities and states that are bankrupt is growing as I speak. Let's face it, you are the first line of defense in a crisis. Do you have an extra supply of storable food and water? The stores will be empty in a matter of hours in a crisis. Look, if you're willing to face reality, call Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest, and she can help you get started no matter your budget. Healthy Harvest carries a full line of emergency preparedness and food storage products, including 300 different dehydrated and freeze-dried foods. She has vital information on water storage and purification, emergency evacuation kits and supplies. Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest is in the business of saving lives. Your life, your family's. Call Jan, toll-free 888-311-8940. 888-311-8940. Call now.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hi folks, CT here. I want to talk to you about a great preparedness resource, tomorrowsharvest.com. Whether it's an economic collapse or nature's fury, there's no feeling more secure than knowing that your loved ones will be well fed. If it's time to bug out or just camping with the family, Tomorrow's Harvest offers high quality, cost-effective, and long-term smart food storage. Get your free sample. The choices are great. From blueberry pancakes to cowboy chili, no one else has the meal variety of Tomorrow's Harvest. They also provide other survival necessities. Check out the various packages and customize your meal supply. Remember, there's no reason for fear today when you prepared with Tomorrow's Harvest. Go to www.tomorrowsharvest.com and tell them you're a freedomizer.
Hello, you freedom-loving freaks. Adjust your tinfoil and join me, the conspiracy theorist, live here at Freedomizer Radio.
Stop your weapons.
Hey, y'all, be sure to tune in to Ron's Media Matrix right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. My co-host and I will cover current events, both local and worldwide, along with special guest interviews. That's 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network.
right, we're back, guys. Sorry, whenever I hear that song, it seems like I run out of breath for some reason. Anyway, proof negative here. Are you in the tuber? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So what does it make you run in place? Do the kid in
place? I don't know. I just feel the energy, and I'm just drained after the song.
Proof's over there doing the electric slide during the break.
I don't know. You can't really do the electric slide with a techno song.
Wow.
All right. Do you have news, or do you want me to go over some stuff?
Let me look at my links real quick. You remember that story of that woman that was on her front lawn sometime in the past 4 or 5 days ago, and she was arrested? Just so you know, it was released in the news today that the case against the Rochester woman arrested while videotaping police has officially been dismissed.
Oh, okay.
It says, early Monday afternoon, demonstrators rallied outside the Hall of Justice in support of Emily Good, the city woman who was arrested while videotaping police officers during a traffic stop on May 12th in front of her 19th Ward home. Good kept recording police officers while standing in front of her front yard, even though an officer ordered her several times to go inside. She was charged with obstruction of governmental administration. Since then, the video from that night has made it onto news shows across the country. Her attorney, Stephanie Stair, has asked for the charges to be dismissed, and in court on Monday, the district attorney's office said based on a review of the evidence, there was no legal basis to go forward. The charge was withdrawn, and the judge dismissed the case.
So what happens to the policeman?
I'm scrolling down right now. It says, police officers must be able to cope with a high degree of stress while performing oftentimes dangerous duties, relying on their training, blah, 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 blah. Nothing. From what I can see, nothing. It says, a joint statement issued by Mayor Tom Richards, City Council President Lovely Warren, and Rochester Police Chief James Shepard said they support the decision of the District Attorney's Office to dismiss the charges against her. Click here to watch the video of his statement. They see no purpose in pursuing criminal charges. Nothing. It doesn't really say anything about the guy, except that he had no right to arrest her. There was no ground.
Right, so I'm just curious if this is going to happen again.
Yeah, that is a question. I'm going to put it in chat room if anybody wants to follow up on that or read any other writings about that, or if they can find another similar article about the same story, and there is something about the officer in particular being mentioned, I'd like to know. Interesting.
Hey, on this same subject, I have someone out here that was arrested previously.
Oh.
For filming a cop. And her name is Tiger Lily Gonzalez. She was going to come on the show last month, and her daughter had a baby, and they had to go to Texas for like a month, and now she's back. So she'll be on tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think that would be a good show to check out.
Yeah, definitely. Interesting.
All right, now, something else here that I want to cover, and I got this out of the BBC of all places.
Okay.
Because, you know, when you want American news, you have to go to the BBC.
Mm-hmm.
But the San Francisco is weighing a proposal to ban the sale of pets in its borders. And this goes a little further than what was being proposed a few months back, where supporters say the ban would prevent needless suffering of animals, allegedly, often bought on impulse by parents. And the city's pet stores say the ban would put them out of business while doing nothing to prevent residents from purchasing pets elsewhere. The move was proposed by an animal welfare advisory board. Now, supporters say it's intended to crack down on the large scale of breeding animals for profit, which I don't have an issue with that personally, if someone's a dog breeder, horse breeder, whatever.
Right.
But the ban would cover everything from rodents to reptiles, dogs, cats, fish, small birds. There was discussion for a little bit as far as if it would also exempt the sales of live fish, lobster, and poultry. But they decided that those are destined for humans' dinner plates instead. So they decided to scrap that for now. But that's on the table. And also, perhaps on the chopping block or not, would be feeder fish and feeder mice used as food for other fish or snakes.
They want to ban that?
Yeah.
They want to ban animals from being served to other animals who are their natural predators.
Possibly, yes. It's on the table.
Well, what are they going to do? Force them to go vegan or something?
Well, it says here, the ban. Let me read here, and let's make sure that I'm not overreacting here. The ban would cover everything from rodents to reptiles, dogs, cats, fish, small birds. It would also cover the sale of live animals, such as mice, used as food for pet snakes. But currently, the bill exempts the sales of live fish, lobsters, and poultry destined for humans' dinner plates. I read on another article that's on the table, and they might just think, if you go to San Francisco, and San Francisco is known for having quality seafood, and just think, they wouldn't be allowed to sell seafood, basically, unless it was shipped in from another state or another city. They wouldn't be allowed to sell it live. They would have to have the lobsters pre-killed, I guess, if you're going to sell lobster.
That's, hang on a minute. I had an article here. I can't remember where it's got nothing to do with anything living, but it's still pretty funny. It made it into my stupid news, so I'll just leave it there. We can talk about it later, but I'll refer back to this article you just read here when we cover this part. It's a good one.
Okay, no problem. All right, so your turn if you have something.
Yeah, here's something interesting. The DEA is now monitoring something called crocodile. It's spelled K-R-O-K-O-D-I-L, a deadly morphine derivative. A new designer drug called crocodile, a derivative of morphine that can turn an addict's skin greenish, scaly, and cause it to rot away, is being eyed by officials at the Drug Enforcement Agency. We're looking at it overseas, but we have not seen it here in the U.S. yet. We would not be surprised when that day comes, though. Thus far, uses of crocodile or desomorphine have only been found in large numbers in Russia, where 65 million doses of the opiate have been seized during the first 3 months of this year alone. To produce the potentially deadly drug, which has a comparable effect to heroin but is much cheaper to make, users mix codeine with gasoline, paint thinner, iodine, hydrochloric acid, and red phosphorus. Codeine, a controlled substance in the U.S. used to treat mild to moderate pain, is widely available over-the-counter in Russia. In 2010, up to 1 million people, according to various estimates, were injecting the resulting substance into their veins in Russia, thus far the only country worldwide to see it grow into an epidemic. The drug's sinister nickname, also known as crocodile, refers to the greenish and scaly appearance of the user's skin at the site of injection as blood vessels rupture and cause surrounding tissues to die. According to the reports, the drug first appeared in Siberia and parts of Russia around 2002, but has spread throughout the country in recent years. Whew. I'm telling you, a mix like that.
How did you find that one?
It was on Fox News. That's a Fox News article. I was just scrolling down the page looking for some interesting news articles, and I'll post that here in chat. I was like, wow, okay. Are you kidding me? Crocodile? I'm like, okay, this has got to be a joke or something comical. And sure enough, the skin turns green, scaly, it falls off, it rots. I mean, it's just disgusting. But, I mean, you've got to be a desperate addict to be putting that combination into a needle and putting it into your skin. I mean, oh, my goodness. Or into your veins, rather.
I can't comprehend that one myself.
No.
I'm not going to run too far into this one, but I do want to change the topic since that one's creeping me out a little bit.
Okay.
But Judge Napolitano mentions that Rick Santorum, Herman Cain, and Mitt Romney are super friends of the Federal Reserve.
Super friends?
Yeah.
As in the Hall of Justice super friends?
Yes. Yeah, that's what Judge Napolitano called them.
Okay. Okay. If I start seeing capes around the White House, we've got a problem, don't we? If I see,
now,
woman...
I'm not really a cape wearer, so I wouldn't be involved in that.
That's pretty disturbing. I think anybody who is is he meaning that, like, you know, in a comical way, saying they're heroes and they're good people, or is he saying?
No, not at all. That's Judge Napolitano, the one true. He's not.
So he's saying they're buddy with the administration. So he's, I see what you're saying. Okay, all right. I thought you were saying that he's, you know, applauding these people, and I'm like, a judge?
Oh no,
okay.
No, not at all.
Okay, I gotcha. Hmm.
All right, now something else I wanted to cover here, and okay. I'm looking at the clock, and I know we have to make up for lost time at some point here. Hold on here. Let me refresh.
It's all right. I got another article yet, too, we can cover.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. this is crazy. While trying to enjoy a romantic dinner date, Clive Merrifield and his companion had spent a half an hour disturbed by a crying baby at the next table. The company director suggested to the child's parents that given it was after 10 p.m., the 7-month-old might be tired. The baby's father's reaction was to pull a bottle of wine from Mr. Merrifield's ice bucket and smash it over his head. Mr. Merrifield, 44, who was having a meal at an Indian restaurant in Islington, North London, with his girlfriend, was left with a deep 4-inch gash on his scalp, which required 16 stitches and has left him scarred. The baby's father, Billy West, was jailed for 2 years and 5 months at Blackfriars Crown Court for what the judge called a vicious and cowardly attack. West, 20, who arrived at the restaurant with his partner, their baby, and another man, took offense at Mr. Merrifield's comments, the court heard, and asked him to settle the matter outside. To the surprise of other diners, the child's mother held the infant up and sneered sarcastically, "It's a baby!" The family were escorted out of the Parveen Tandoori by staff, but West returned alone 5 minutes later to attack Mr. Merrifield. Yesterday, the former police constable who runs his own auditing business said the child had been crying and crying at the next table. It was constant. The mother kept getting up to hold it up to the mirror behind us, but it wouldn't stop. It was very loud. Other people noticed, but they didn't say anything. And after about a half an hour, I just said to my girlfriend, "I've had enough." I went over and very politely said I was sorry, but this was a quiet restaurant, and we're trying to enjoy our meal, and your baby won't stop crying. I asked if they could take it outside for a little bit and said it might be tired at this time of night. She just held it up and started shaking it and saying, "It's a baby." Then they asked me if I had a problem with children, which I don't, and the two men told me we could sort this out outside. The staff asked them to leave, and we carried on eating. The next thing I knew, I had been whacked on the back of the head. He had hit me with my bottle of wine. I just remember seeing my girlfriend's face looking worried and the blood in the glass on her top. I got up, but he had gone. I looked down and saw my shirt soaked in blood. He was arrested 6 weeks later, and then it goes on a little bit more about the article. But, that was posted June 27th, yesterday. That was posted yesterday. So... yeah, apparently people don't like you telling them that their kids are crying too hard. I'll put that article in chat if anybody would like to. You look at the pictures of this guy and the other guy that he hit. Oh my goodness. Wow. He looks pretty disturbed.
Oh. All right, I see it there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see what we got here. We got, I got some more George Soros smack to talk about here, but, anytime we can expose George Soros, and I feel bad that I didn't get to ask Pastor Williams about George Soros at all, but that's all right. We'll get it next time.
Okay.
All right, so let me try to get back on the same page here since it's the top of the hour, and let me just grab a couple quick promos here, and we will we'll be right back. But there hasn't been that many people putting in their entries for the silver contest.
Yeah, I looked at all the videos today. I only saw 4 total.
I'm very disappointed. I was hoping that more people would have taken about 20 minutes or so and made a video in hopes of winning some silver. I have an ounce of silver. I want to just give it away, but I'm relying on more people to make some videos. So All you have to do is go to goanimate.com or extranormal.com or wherever. We just want you to create a cartoon and mention Freedomizer Radio in a relative manner. I mean, you could do whatever you want with it. Just make sure Freedomizer Radio is prominently placed somewhere in the ad. And, at the end of June, with just a few short days, we're going to call the contest and we'll review the entries at hand and we'll pick a lucky winner. So what do you have? 2 days left. So please get those entries in. Email your entry to contest@freedomizerradio.com. And don't just take my word for it. I have Broccoli Man here who's going to help us out.
Hi, Freedomizers. This is Broccoli Man again telling you about the contest Proof Negative is doing for an ounce of silver. This contest already started, so you better get started. This is a Freedomizer Radio cartoon contest. You go to extranormal.com and spell it right. It is spelled extranormal.com. Or you can go to goanimate.com, or you can create your own cartoon. It doesn't matter where you make it. Anyway, you create a cartoon. You put it up on YouTube or any other video upload site. You then send an email to contest@freedomizerradio.com with the link to your video. The cartoon has to mention Freedomizer Radio in a relevant manner. So no talking about how you like grandma's oatmeal then saying Freedomizer Radio one time and then going back to talking about your junk. The best videos go on the FreedomizerRadio.com website. Entries are accepted until June 30th, 2011. Then, we all get to vote for a few days on our favorite video. Then on July 4th, 2011, a winner is chosen and Proof Negative mails out an ounce of silver to the most creative and funny cartoonist. This contest is open to everyone except me and Proof Negative. Wait a minute. Why can't Broccoli Man make a video? Oh well. I hope someone wins Proof Silver. And remember, please listen to Freedomizer Radio and go to freedomizerradio.com and help me fight New World Order crime.
Yeah, okay, let me do a take two. Hey, it's Helene. New show called Take Two, Thursdays, noon to 2 Pacific Standard Time on Freedomizer Radio. Yeah, take 2 hours. Take 2 guests. Take 2 topics. Take 2 points of view, all in one take. Yeah, then take 2 aspirins and call me during the show. It's always good to chat, and if you're not part of the chat, at least you should be listening to it. That's Take 2. Take 2 debuts July 7th, and we'll be on every Thursday on Freedomizer Radio. So take 2 moments and let me know what you're thinking about every Thursday, 12 to 2 Pacific Standard Time. Do I need to take 2? Or that would be take 3. I'm good.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
In today's world, being prepared is on everyone's mind. You're being told every day to prepare yourself. Okay, being prepared is one thing, but how are you preparing? Is the food you're going to eat something that you'll really enjoy? You know, comfort food. Or is it just something you'll eat for the sake of eating? After all, who cares about taste? You do. And at Tomorrow's Harvest, it's all about variety, taste, and a larger portion for less money. At Tomorrow's Harvest, you'll find 85 varieties of prepackaged meals, or you can customize your own family's menu. You can choose what you want, and they'll put it together for you. You choose what you and your family will eat every day. You'll find entrees like lasagna, beef stroganoff, salmon, ground beef, steak and chicken, and don't forget real milk, the kind of food that, when you need comfort, it's there. And preparation is as easy as 6 months, same as cash. Prepare today with Tomorrow's Harvest in Bountiful or online at tomorrowsharvest.com. Tomorrow's Harvest, a better taste in being prepared.
Mark Pimpton, and welcome to Exploring the Verbiage. Tonight's word, change, a meaningless utterance.
Change has come to America.
An utterance with meaning.
False flag. False flag.
You have changed my life.
Do you hear that?
The show have changed his life.
Thank you for listening. Please tune in to the Comedy of the Conspiracy Theorist, exclusively on False Flag Radio.
All right, guys, we are back. Thank you so much for joining us here. Just getting my my chat under control here. And let's see, someone kicked me out, it looks like, by accident. So just trying to log back in. Other than that, tomorrow we are going to have Tiger Lily Gonzalez come in. And she is someone who likes to videotape cops if the situation arises. And well, she's been harassed, arrested, everything else regarding that. So we're going to get further into the discussion of how legal it is to film a cop.
Great conversation. That's going to be a good discussion. As long
All right.
as I can't see how it can be considered interfering with duty when you are not in the way, you are not literally interfering. I mean, she was on her property, for one. They were not on her property. And that right there should have been the end of it. He said, I can't see what's going on behind me. Is this any time an officer is standing there and somebody's behind him? He has the right to arrest anybody? What about all the cops that ride bikes down the street, you know, busy downtown streets, you know? Anybody that's behind him is guilty of threatening a cop? Because they're in that position of being behind the officer somewhere where he can't see them.
What about the guy of a few months back that got arrested for filming a plainclothes officer who didn't even announce he was a cop? You're just supposed to guess that he was a cop, I guess.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. You know, I know that some people will say, well, the officers have the right to be safe and the officers have the right not to be interfered with. The reason I knew that particular story that we talked about earlier where the woman, where the case was dropped, Miss Good, I don't remember her first name, the reason why I knew that was it couldn't go anywhere. They didn't have a leg to stand on, because if he arrested her, he should have arrested everybody else that was standing there with her, because when he took her away, the other ones resumed. They took the camera and continued recording. And they did not take the camera. They did not take the other people. He was just being belligerent and, just singling her out because she dared defy him. It was ridiculous. And I did not see how that was going to go anywhere.
Well, it's like we mentioned before, how it's funny how cops find out that they're being videotaped, and it's like they're acting for the camera. It's like they get worse. The average person freezes up when they're on camera. They don't want to be on camera. Them, it's like they're on the WWE, and they have no problem throwing down blows or talking smack or doing whatever they need to do.
Hmm. Yeah. It's some of them, it doesn't make any sense because, like you said, some of them, they act. They start performing, you know. They actually start acknowledging the camera person and start saying things and doing things, and it's like they are daring anybody to do anything about it. And I don't get that. I don't get that behavior at all. If somebody is out of the way, it's a routine traffic stop. I mean, if you read through the story, I guess that apparently the guy he pulled over was a felon on probation or on parole or something. I don't know what the deal was, but I do know that she did not do anything wrong. You know, if there was a riot downtown and people's stores and places of business are getting broken into and there's police around there, we need to secure the area, everybody needs to move back. Yeah, that's fine. But as far as recording what's going on at a safe distance, how is the cop to deem what is a safe distance? You know, you can't make that call unless you're talking about the immediate physical perimeter. You know, if someone is out of reach, out of the physical, you know, his personal bubble of space, whatever you want to call it, he can't tell them to stop doing anything like that when they're not interfering. That's ridiculous.
Right, and the officer said something of the nature of if she would have went inside her house, she would have still been videotaping me.
Mm-hmm.
So would you arrest someone still for videotaping inside their own house, as opposed to people that have security cameras outside their house that they pay a monthly service for? Is that going to be now banned?
I don't know. There was a case, I don't remember how long ago it was. I don't remember seeing the date on the video, but I was following up on this story last week and reading some other similar stories that were posted on YouTube. And this gentleman was in his garage. He was standing in his garage. You could see the top of the garage door in front and top of the camera. And he was filming the same situation, same scenario. The cop was doing a routine traffic stop. We don't know if it was a bust or what, but they were on a public street. Everybody was pulled over. There was one or two cars pulled over and then two or three cop cars there. The guy was standing up on a hill in his garage recording this. The officer came up and demanded that he take the film. He wanted the camera. And I don't remember whatever came of that, but I think he arrested the guy and took his camera. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, standing in his garage. Well, I don't know if that's a camera or a gun. So anybody with a camera or anybody that goes into their purse or, you know, inside their coat pocket and pulls something out, what, are the cops going to have the right to draw on them because they feel threatened that the person might have a gun? You know, when are we going to draw a line and say, okay, wait a minute now? I mean, there's no end to it.
Right. And, well, if we don't take a stand, then they win. And that's with any part of tyranny. If people don't stand together, then the elites will stand together and conquer your freedom.
Yeah. Yep. So they've got it
right.
All.
And like
all
William
control.
Said, the elites are scared of us because enough of us have woken up, but... Hey, they have no problem dealing the drama to us, and I guess they just expect that everything they give us is going to just be taken with extra onions and no tomatoes, I guess.
That sounds like a good meal, actually. I like extra onions and no tomato.
See, nice. I'm the other way around.
Oh, you like the tomato and less onions?
Yes.
No, not me.
Green onions. I like green onions.
Oh, scallions? Yeah, those are yummy. I have always gotten hives. I've gotten red welts all over my chest and my neck and my jawline when I have eaten raw tomatoes up until the past I would say maybe 6-8 months. I have recently, I think it's because of the high acidic content of tomatoes for some reason. I don't have a problem with ketchup, tomato soup, anything with cooked or processed tomato in it, but raw tomatoes I've always had a problem with. And so I've been trying to break myself out of that, and it's working. I've been adding tomatoes, you know, in sparse amounts here and there. I'm not crazy about them. To me, it's like eating a rotten cherry or something. I just don't like them. They're not that very flavorful to me. But my husband's starting to get me into this mayo, tomato, salt, and pepper, just, you know, as a snack type thing. And I can tolerate it like that, I guess, with a little bit of extra salt. I don't know, but tomatoes, ooh.
All right. Okay, is it your turn or my turn?
I don't know. What's the last article I was looking at? Oh, I already read that. I think it's your turn because I already read that one.
Okay. All right. No problem. Let's go into this here. I'm reading an article off of foodfreedom.wordpress.
Okay.
And let me drop a link. All right. And this one here says, feds are buying the farmland that they flooded. Soros is in on it. So remember when the Army engineers blew the Birds Point levee in early May? Well, now you know the real reason. Two huge intel leads in an email box this morning, well, which was a few days ago.
Right.
File this one under Now It All Makes Sense. A Missouri farming and ranching contact just got off a conference call wherein he was informed the federal government is sending out letters to all the flooded out farmers in the Missouri River floodplain and bottoms, notifying them that the Army Corps of Engineers will offer to buy their land.
Oh, wow.
Intentionally flood massive acreage of highly productive farm ground. Destroy people's communities and homes. Catch them while they're desperate and afraid, and then they swoop in and buy the ground cheap. George Soros appears to be, quote-unquote, investing in farm ground through the same puppet company that he used to get into the grain and elevator and fertilizer business. The company is called Osprey Capital Management and is buying up farm ground in a joint venture with Tees River Investments as a partner. Here's the connection. The Osprey outfit was a hedge fund specializing in commodities that was started and run by someone who did not know how to trade bear markets and got his butt kicked in the next week in the grain market of 08. He also lost a fortune trying to trade rare earth metals. In fact, it was so bad that he had to shut his fund down because he promised his investors he would give them all their investment money back if it lost more than 30% in 1 year. But it appears that Soros swooped in and saved the day because this Osprey is the co-investor with Soros that bought the remnants of ConAgra's trading operation and renamed it Gabalon. So in the industry, it is widely acknowledged that Osprey is George Soros, and there's an article in there if you want. So bottom line, Soros, through Osprey, is buying up farm ground, and this has been going on a couple of years. So how do you like that? They're able to have weather weapons, and then they come in and buy up the land because it's dirt cheap, so they're buying it on the short.
Huh. Yeah. So the question is, are they intentionally flooding it so that it appears worthless to people and he saves the day by coming in and offering them money for it? Or, I mean, what's going on with it, you know? I mean, what's the reasoning behind it? Speaking of evil SOBs, like the article says...
Yeah.
Two or three times. Evil SOBs.
I guess you noticed I was avoiding that.
Yeah. But he is an evil SOB. He is one evil, dark man. And I can't see him doing any of this out of the goodness of his heart. Obviously, there's a plan behind this. So Truth Junkie was here earlier this evening. He's a friend of mine from a different chat room. And he posted a question to me on Skype, and he said, you know, I forgot the question I was just going to say now. I lost my train of thought. I'm reading something in chat, and it just threw me off. He was asking me something about what was going on with something that Lindsay Williams had been talking about, and that was a great question. So the question is, are they doing these things on purpose, or are they – oh, I know what he asked me. He said, where is all the water coming from? I mean, it is – you know, the end of June, for one, and they're saying, well, all the extra snow and this is that, is, it, you know, it's flooding down. I understand that, and it happens every year, but this year it just seems to be completely out of control. There's more flooding now than we've ever seen in some cases in 150 years and ever on record. So we're seeing problems here, and we're seeing droughts and wild. I was just talking to my Aunt Frances today. She lives down in Vero Beach, Florida. And she said they are having a drought so bad, it is classified as desert conditions.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. She says, yeah, it's terrible. Really, really, really bad. So in that area, I guess she said there are I forget how many fires, like 200 or 400 fires or something going on down there. Meanwhile, Arizona is leaked over into New Mexico, and they keep saying they've got it, you know, almost under control. But I think some of these things are definitely man-made, and not all of it is just happenstance, and that it all happens to be happening at the same time. Not to mention a very, very big blaring red flag to me is most of the flooding is going on in the New Madrid fault line region, and that would make the ground completely prime for dispersal and separation for any type of gulf incident or earthquake incident in that region. So you're talking about major mud and easily displaced grounds in this region. So if something does happen, whether it's perpetrated by HAARP or from the Gulf by some other company, whatever, all I'm saying is the ground is ripe for displacement. It's not just going to be a regular earthquake if the ground was bone dry. We're talking flooding of epic proportions that have never even been recorded this bad, you know, from here all the way up to Dakota, the Dakotas. So you're talking an area that is going to be doubly devastated in the event of some type of quake in that region. And I think that's very, very interesting that these things are happening all around the same time. So something to keep an eye on.
Excellent. Well, thank you for sharing on that. One article down, another one to go, I guess.
I know.
Let's see, where was I? This is one I wanted to cover today.
Okay.
And I got this from beforeitsnews.com.
All right.
And let me throw the link in here. All right, you guys could click on that if you like. If not, then I'll just go ahead and read. Alexander Higgins reported this here, so I got to give credit where it's due here. Microsoft files patent for software that allows the government to spy on all personal digital communications. This came out yesterday. A patent filed by Microsoft reveals the company has voluntarily created software that allows the government to intercept, reroute, and record all personal electronic communications, including Skype phone calls, which are directly named in the patent. A patent filed by Microsoft seeks to give the company exclusive rights to intercept personal electronic communications and resend them directly to the government and other agencies who may be seeking to spy on you. The patent specifically names certain types of communications, such as Skype calls, instant messaging, video conferencing software, and even meeting software, but that does not stop there. Microsoft has filed a patent for software they voluntarily invented software that intercepts, allows... Okay, hold on here. That sentence just doesn't read right there. Invented software that intercepts, allows the government and other agencies seeking to spy on you to intercept, reroute, and record all your personal digital communications. Instead, the patent goes on to label just about all electronic devices you can think of as a computer and request for a patent to be able to intercept digital communications from those devices and even access data stored in a variety of other storage mediums and forward that to the government. A Gizmodo article on the patent points out that Microsoft appears to be trying to patent Skype spying, which is specifically named within the patent, but the scope of patent goes far beyond the ability to just spy on Skype. Yuna, you want to jump in?
I'm having a hard time reading the rest of the article because I keep getting an ad that pops up, and I don't know where it's coming from. But I was reading about this a little earlier, and I am very disturbed by it. Somebody put a video out on YouTube, too. Mm-hmm. You know what? Actually, I'm going to mention this. This is weird. I was watching The Dark Knight again with one of our daughters a couple days ago, one of the newest Batman movies. And there's a scene in the end where Morgan Freeman, who plays Lucius Fox, is asked by Bruce Wayne in his Batman costume to do him a big favor. And Lucius Fox says he doesn't want any part of it. He says, as long as this program is running here, I will not be, and this consider this my resignation. What he did is he had calibrated everybody's phones and laptops and computers and communication devices, essentially, and was able to monitor them from one room. Lucius Fox had it right when he said, this is wrong. This is wrong. I will not be a part of spying on 30 million people. This is wrong. And Batman's excuse was, well, we have to do it just this one time to catch this guy, because if not, he's going to kill, you know, I don't know how many thousand people were on the boats at the end of the movie. And Lucius Fox says, I will help you this one time, and then I'm done. And then Batman told him how to self-destruct the entire process. So they justified it by saying, well, it was okay to do it for this one thing, and then after that, they caught the guy, they destroyed the program, so, you know, it wasn't really possible. The thing is, we know from experience now in 2011 that a lot of the things we have seen in Hollywood, whether it be movies or TV, science fiction, whatever, more often than not is pretty much reality. If we see it in the movies, it probably can be done, or some form of it, or they're working on it. I watched a military program some years ago, and I remember the guy saying, trust me, if they come out with it as new scientific technology advancements and they release it to the public, rest assured the military is 20, what did he say? For every year the public advances in technology, the military advances 10 years. He said, so that you can imagine where we are right now. So when you read me an article like this, that they are passing a law, all they're trying to do is make the public accepting of what it is they already have been doing in some way, shape, or form. They are already doing these things. They are already listening. They are already spying. This is just how they're going to come out to the public with it and get the public to go along. This is just a kind of a way to creep it right in under our noses, but it's for the good, it's for the better, you know, it's just going to help. And that's all this is. And it's like Lucius Fox said, it's wrong, period.
Yeah, but if it's good just this once, right?
Oh, just this once, that's right. But do you think they're going to self-destruct the whole unit or the whole program when they're done catching the one bad guy? No. It's never going to happen. You know, and like I said, I don't think they're just now trying to do this. They already know how to do it. They've already been doing it, which is why we're reading an article like this, because they're trying to find a way to get the public to go along with it without, you know, pitching a fit about something. They are already doing it. I am sure of it.
All right. Well, it's 8:31 here on the SWAS Watch. We're going to have to go to our stupid news here.
Interesting. Okay.
Now, I was debating on my stupid news, and I really liked something I covered yesterday. And
okay.
I'm not sure if that's the stupid enough news that I'm seeking. Did you hear me cover the person that is saying that the Smurfs are the perfect citizens?
No.
Okay, good. So what's your stupidest?
A Massachusetts man is filing is facing a criminal complaint for failing to appear for jury duty, but he apparently had a good excuse. He's been dead for 5 years.
Hmm.
And the article gets better. But I won't go into it right now, of course, but they've been after him. They're filing the charges against him because he's apparently ignored their complaints for 5 years now, because they've been repeatedly asking him to come to jury duty and threatening him with fines and criminal charges if he doesn't comply and all this. This has been an ongoing case for 5 years. So.
All right. I have a TSA story, too, if you want. Plea deal in the TSA airport screener assault case where this came out earlier, I want to say last year, with a Florida man taunted. He was taunted over the size of his you-know-what, and now he has to apologize to the coworker who was doing the taunting. Because, you know, he beat him up, basically. Oh, yeah, you have small junk? Ha, ha, ha. Oh, yeah, bam.
I remember that. I remember that well. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, you don't forget fist fights and fisticuffs over junk, huh?
It was one of the silliest things I'd ever heard, because it happened shortly after the TSA went, you know, they went public. They went, you know, they came out and started putting these things in the airports. This happened shortly after. And it was
right.
Like one of the first cases that we heard of, you know, anything really happening and how much you could really see. And when this guy was apparently almost seen through when he walked through,
yeah.
Came a little short of being seen all the way, apparently, they decided, you know, he decided he was going to have his revenge. And I remember the story because I thought it was hilarious. And I'm like, wow, if he was that mad, they had to have, well, almost seen, you know, the junk there. And, yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, let's go ahead and grab our break before we totally decompose here. And we'll be right back. Stupid News of the Week coming up next.
July 2nd on my radio show, Jumpin' Ship with Captain Dan, we will be holding a roundtable discussion on how to go about setting up a small community. We'll be taking callers the whole show and would encourage anyone with any ideas or plans that would be willing to share with others who are trying or just interested in small communities. That's Jumpin' Ship with Captain Dan, July 2nd, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, at blogtalkradio.com/freedomizerradio or call 347-324-3704.
Pondering the Bilderberg Group for the fifth time today? Planning on protesting the Federal Reserve and looking for ideas?
Did you finally convince your parents the left-right paradigm is a farce and you want to share your insight? Want to find out who Jared is and why he's having a meltdown?
We are Change Austin is teaming up with Freedomizer Radio to discuss everything from liberty news to ways to stay activated and motivated in your town and in your heart. Tune in to True Talk Radio every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 12 p.m. Central as we discuss how we can rise up and be the change we wish to see in the world.
Occult symbols, Satanism, Freemasonry, backward masking, satanic lyrics, demonic possession. What's in your music?
Let's get it all out in the open on the Step Up to the Mic show with Ninja Scroll and DJ Joshua every Monday and Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Freedomizer Radio.
I still meet people who believe that in tough times that Big Brother will save their skin. Really. The list of cities and states that are bankrupt is growing as I speak. Let's face it, you are the first line of defense in a crisis. Do you have an extra supply of storable food and water? The stores will be empty in a matter of hours in a crisis. Look, if you're willing to face reality, call Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest, and she can help you get started no matter your budget. Healthy Harvest carries a full line of emergency preparedness and food storage products, including 300 different dehydrated and freeze-dried foods. She has vital information on water storage and purification, emergency evacuation kits, and supplies. Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest is in the business of saving lives. Your life, your family's. Call Jan, toll-free 888-311-8940. 888-311-8940. Call now.
Here, which on Tuesdays means it's Stupid News of the Week time. And I still don't have theme music for this.
We've got to come up with something.
Yeah, it's a new segment, I guess. We've only been doing this 2 years.
I know. yeah.
All right. All right, anyway, go ahead and give us some runners up.
All right. North Korean Air. This is from Pyongyang in North Korea. North Korea's heir apparent, Kim Jong-un, underwent plastic surgery 6 times to look more like his grandfather, the communist state's eternal president, Kim II Sung. Or no, that's not. That's a capital I and a lowercase L. Kim Il-sung. The second. Okay, that's good. South Korea's Yonhap News Agency reported on Tuesday. And there's a dandy picture of him here. I'll post in the chat room. Let's see. Authorities say marijuana that was meant to be used as evidence in a Long Island drug case and was shipped via FedEx disappeared during shipment. Apparently, someone opened the box, removed the contents, then resealed the package. FedEx is investigating the possible theft, it says, as is the district attorney's office. Possible theft. Well, how it's possible. That's ridiculous. Something comes up missing and it's possibly missing. That's interesting. Here's an interesting one. I was going to talk about this earlier, but politicians in Washington hardly let a few minutes go by without mentioning how broke the government is. So it's a little surprising that they've created a stash of more than $1 billion that almost no one wants. Unused dollar coins have been quietly piling up in a Federal Reserve vault in breathtaking numbers, thanks to a government program that has required their production since 2007. Even though the neglected mountain of money recently grew past the $1 billion mark, the U.S. Mint will keep making more and more of the coins under a congressional mandate. The pile of idle coins, which so far has cost $300 million to manufacture, could double by the time the program ends in 2016, the Federal Reserve told Congress last year. And there's NPR actually did this article, very interesting article. I would have a look at that. Here's that one I was going to talk to you about earlier with selling the animals and the food and the banning.
That's okay. I've been waiting.
City green market vendors banned from cutting the cheese outside. The state has a message for city green market vendors. Don't cut the cheese. The state agricultural department is enforcing a ban on slicing cheese in the open air. Shoppers are complaining that the regulation means prepackaged cheese, which defeats the purpose of buying fresh. It's silly. You should be able to buy exactly the amount you want, said Mia Spence, 34, who was shopping at Union Square Green Market on Monday. She bought a 2 half-pound and 1/4-pound chunks of paper-wrapped cheese at Bardwell Farm stall. It was more than she needed, and she wasn't happy about it. She said, I want to be able to buy a bachelor wedge, just a little cheese for a couple sandwiches before it goes bad, said her friend. A lot of the time I go to Fairway, they slice me less than 1/4 pound. A state regulation on the book since the 1970s requires what's called an Article 20C license to slice cheese for commercial sale. Vendors can obtain the license only if they slice cheese in a permanent building that excludes pests such as flies and has hot and cold running water and a 3-compartment sink. They said, we do not want dirty utensils used at farmers markets, Zeem said. Scroll down closer to the bottom of the article. It says, I don't like buying it in the pre-wrapped plastic because it absorbs the flavor. I think the government's just gone overboard in its rules and regulations, said Gordon, who lives in the Union Square area. They've just gone nuts. I believe in clean, but we've all survived with a few germs. So they're not allowed to slice the cheese in the open air. Absolutely asinine.
Oh, no. Yeah, I like how you could put cutting the cheese and asinine in the same few sentences.
that was a blunder.
yeah, pun intended.
Here's one. Underwater blackout is a dangerous game. In all honesty, holding one's breath while underwater has been a common pool game for years. Competitive swimmers indulged in the practice as a training regime even before there were swimming pools. It happens, but it is strictly forbidden in our pools, said Christina Kinsella, aquatic coordinator for the northern half of Gwinnett County. So they're having a problem with kids holding their breath, you know, taking turns holding their breath underwater for too long. Hello. Isn't that how we learn to hold our breath? Oh, man. And
well, remember, these are the same people that think playing Frisbee is highly dangerous
and should
be in summer camps.
Of course. Pretty soon, if we have a metal object in our hands and we swing at a small round object called a baseball, it might hurt somebody, and that's going to get banned before you know it.
Mm-hmm.
I will read my runner-up, and I'll save there's another one I think should have been. I don't know. I can never tell between my top.
All right. Well, I got a couple also. Don't forget that.
Okay. I'll read this. I'll read the number one that I said that I had, and then I'll let you read your runner-up, and then I'll read my top one, and then you can read the winner. How's that?
Well, I'm sure you probably won, so I'm not going to just read what you just said.
Dead Massachusetts man sought for jury duty for 5 years. A Massachusetts man facing a criminal complaint for failing to appear for jury duty apparently had a good excuse. He's been dead for 5 years. State Deputy Jury Commissioner John Kavanaugh said last week the state will not proceed with serving a criminal complaint against Michael Wiley. The late Georgetown resident was issued a notice to serve on jury duty 5 years ago, but at the time he was in hospice care and had terminal cancer. He died a few months later, but the commission continued to send letters about his failure to report. Wiley's family said they tried to tell authorities that he had died, but officials say the family never sent a death certificate.
Hmm. Yeah, so what are they going to do, arrest him?
Something. I don't know. I don't know. 5 years. Oh, well, we kept sending him letters because he didn't send a death certificate. I mean, I don't know.
Well, they didn't go to the morgue and tell him he better hurry up and get up?
You think if they're spending all that government money sending out these notices and hiring people to take care of the case, they would have just sent somebody out and knocked on the door. Somebody would have told them something. I don't know.
I wonder what the judge says about this. And what happens? Do they dig him up and arrest his bones? Or do they try to find out if they believe in reincarnation and as soon as he's reborn, then off he goes?
They'll think of something. They'll think of something and make it worth their while and, you know, charge the government, you know, a few thousand dollars for this or that. They always do.
Yeah. All right. So I guess it's my turn.
Okay.
All right. And let's see here. We have the Army. This is a runner-up here.
Okay.
The Army says no to the Vibram's five-finger shoes.
What?
So let me go ahead and... Yeah, the Army, I guess, has nothing else to worry about. Hang on. The room... Our chat room closed again for some stupid reason here, so let me get it back up.
While you're doing that, I'll tell you, I was shopping the other day, and I saw a woman wearing them. I ran up behind her, and I said, excuse me. She turned around and says, yes. I said, are those the five fingers? And she said, yes, they are. And she started modeling them for me, putting her feet all sideways and up in the air, wiggling her toes. And I'm like, that is so cool. Are they as comfortable as they make them out to be on the website? And she says, oh, yes. She said, if you like being barefoot and, you know, you can't go anywhere, she says, I highly recommend them. They're very, very comfortable. And it just feels like you're wearing nothing on your feet. It's very comfortable, and they're very excellent for running. They have excellent grip, and I just love them. I just love them. She was just raving about them. She'd had them for about 6 months. You could tell they were very warm, but they were holding up very well. They didn't look brand.
Well, the chat room's back up and running here,
okay.
So if you want to get back in, that's fine.
Okay.
I don't know what happened there. This happened yesterday at the same time, too.
Hmm.
But anyway, let me go ahead and read here.
Okay.
The Army has officially banned the use of the Vibram's five fingers, and read the relevant part of the Alaract and weep. Only those shoes that accommodate all five toes in one compartment are authorized for wear. Those shoes that require five separate individual compartments detract from a professional military image and prohibited for wear with the improved physical fitness uniform or when conducting physical training in military formation. We posted before, and I'm reading from a website here, birthdayshoes.com,
mm-hmm.
about the Army banning them, but there was some debate about the veracity of the report. So,
can you put a link to that article in the chat room there?
Oh, you're in there? Okay.
Yeah,
right,
I would like to add
sure
it to the list.
Okay.
Got it.
Okay. Now, I just see where we're sending people to the... to their death in the Middle East, and we're going to worry about this?
What's the point? I mean, what's their case? I mean, they're not allowed in the Army?
I guess.
Unequivocally banned. I mean, why?
Yeah, I don't know. It gives you too much of an advantage, maybe?
I don't know. Here's the official All Army Activities release. The purpose of this message is to modify the existing wear policy for the IPFU. There are a variety of minimalist running shoes available for purchase and wear, effective immediately. Only those shoes that accommodate all five toes in one compartment are authorized for wear. Those shoes that feature five separate individual compartments for the toes detract from a professional military image and are prohibited for wear with the IPFU or when conducting physical training in military formation. They detract.
Well, at the same time, though, I think running into countries and occupying them with no order of war and bypassing Congress, I think that's unprofessional.
Wow.
Sorry, did I lose you?
No, I'm looking at the picture. They got a guy and his dog, a canine unit, jumping out of the back of some type of C-130 or something, I don't know. And he's jumping off the back, and I think he's got those shoes on because I can see the shape of five toes, and the dog's got a muzzle on, jumping into the water, you know, 100 feet above the air, and he's got a muzzle on. Yeah. Hmm. Wow. The only reason they're giving for that is that it detracts from a professional military image.
Yeah.
That's the only reason they give. It detracts from a professional military image. It's got nothing to do with safety or ease of movement or anything like that. It simply detracts from professional image. That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
Well, that's part of stupid news, I guess. So I didn't know that one would be so popular, but hey, that's what it is.
Wow. That's
no, not that I plan on buying any of those anytime soon. I just thought that was something a little bit different.
Okay.
All right, well, your turn.
Here. Okay, this is gross, but definitely qualifies as stupid. Boulder, Colorado, 30-year-old Luke Crisco insists he isn't crazy, yet he admits to hiding inside the tank of a portable toilet, a porta potty, to spy on women at a Boulder yoga festival last week. He said, "I was at the yoga festival doing a little bit of yoga, and I'm just seeing all these goddesses." He said to Fox 31 in Denver, he said, "It seems crazy, but I just felt like I was being blessed by their energy, even though it was unintentional." He said he is a voyeur and not a rapist, and that he said the idea of wading in a tank of waste and urine didn't bother him. "Oh, there's bacteria in there, but to me it's just normal. We all have bodily fluids," he said. "It seems terrible, but it didn't actually smell that bad or anything. I still would have done it, even if it smelled a little weird, because where there is muck, there is gold." Police believe Crisco has been watching women through bathroom peepholes in restaurants and businesses all over Boulder. Investigators are contacting local businesses named by Crisco in an attempt to substantiate his claims. He may have spied on as many as 200 women. Detectives have already confirmed there are peepholes in the restrooms of several local businesses. Owners of those businesses are taking appropriate actions to seal the holes. "I'll be honest, it was a lifestyle I was living," he said, "just by choice, trying to find a private way to exercise my spiritual beliefs. I made a vow to myself that I never wanted to frighten any girl. I'd rather put a gun to my head than scare anyone or hurt anyone. That's how I live my life." "I'm going to hide in the John and say that there's gold in this muck." Woo!
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'll post that link there because his face is up there and he's just a little odd looking. Oh, man.
He doesn't believe he did anything wrong.
No, he thought he was just absorbing their beautiful energy and all these goddesses.
Well, he was absorbing something.
He was. Yep, he sure was.
All right, so was that your stupid news, or was that the runner-up? Or
that was it.
Okay. I can't top that.
I wasn't even going to bring it up because it was so gross. I'm like, you know, come on.
All right, well, let's cover this here smurfing. I covered this yesterday, so if I take 3 minutes, it's fine. But I want to get your thoughts on this anyway.
Okay.
Do Smurfs provide a model for a good society? And this is out of the BBC. This is a place where neighbors are always willing to lend a hand, where everyone has a skill and is willing to employ it without personal reward for the benefit of everyone. And it mentions here, the Smurfs live without money, using their individual skills for the common good without individual reward to ensure their community thrives. There has been debate about whether the artist intended the Smurfs to be a metaphor for socialism, but there is room for anyone with a political ideology that emphasizes cooperation and community to interpret them through their own prism. And I'm just wondering on this here, if the Smurfs were a model for socialism, then what was Gargamel?
Ooh, he must have been the evil conservative.
Either that or George Soros, one of the two, and I haven't quite figured it out yet.
He wanted to keep the wealth. He wanted to keep the wealth at home. He didn't want it to leave his house. Oh man.
All right. So let's see. Anything else we're working on? We got like 2 minutes here. Not enough time really to go into another article.
Think just a brief article here. Greece grinds to a halt as general strike gets underway. Workers across Greece walked off the job on Tuesday, kicking off a 48-hour strike with a mass protest in the capital. These people are having dire unemployment issues, dire economical issues, and they're going to handle it by going on a 48-hour strike. I mean, I understand what they're doing, but I understand the whole austerity thing is really breaking these people, but I don't know that going on a strike is the way to do it. If I was living in a country that had just imposed austerity measures, I would be taking every hour of pay I could possibly get my hands on.
Yeah, and I feel that way too. I've been trying my best to try and get a new day job, and the guy there that owns it, he's friends with George Soros and the Clintons and such, and I don't like, let's just say there's a lot of extracurricular stuff going on, and I'm trying my best to stay as long as I can, but at some point you just can't take the tyranny anymore.
Sick.
Yeah. Well, he knows. He knows what's going on, so it's no skin off his pocket. He just...
No.
And that's kind of what it is sometimes. But anyway, let's see here with this new switchboard if I have enough time to...
New switchboard. I like it a lot. Except tonight when I opened it up in my Safari browser... it came in the old switchboard. I don't know how or why, but it did.
Anyway, we got 10 seconds left here. Yuna, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Lily Gonzalez tomorrow. In the meantime, hold on to the handrail. Keep hope alive. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires.
Good night.
Negative, and I'm out.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.